The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
It's my birthday.
Hey! Hey! Hey!
Thank you, Pitch.
So, you remember this one, though, right?
Yeah, I know how old I am. Yes.
Right, yeah. Because sometimes you get gets a little foggy and vague as to what your age is.
What year? I'm 48 today. But I did forget over the weekend that today was my birthday. Like, every now and then, oh, yeah, that's right. It's my birthday.
So, when are you going to celebrate officially?
I don't know. It's not something that I plan, you know? I mean, that's, right. I don't plan my own birthday party or anything like that. So, you know, if the family, if somebody wants to do something for me, that's cool. I think it's a bit full of yourself if you plan your own birthday party, you know?
Plan it all and buy yourself stuff and provide gifts for people.
Unless you're like alone or something like that, that I can understand. But, you know, I have a family, so they freaking better.
Did the family, did they come into the bedroom this morning with breakfast fully made at 3:30?
3:30 this morning. It was wonderful. So cute. No, but my daughter did. She was bummed out. She's like, we wanted to give you breakfast in bed for you, but obviously you got to work, so I'm not going to be able to do that. So in a couple more years, I'll be able to do it. Or no. Yeah. It's going to be a few years before it lands on the weekend again. All right. So anyhow, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. So what type of product? It was Teen Spirit, as mentioned in the title of 1991 Nirvana hit. We will go to Dan, who was our first caller in. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Morning. Happy birthday.
Hey, thank you, Dan. I appreciate that. So what was Teen Spirit?
Deodorant.
Yeah, deodorant. Yep. You're
cool. Yes.
Hang on just a second, Dan. We're going to get your information.
I loved Teen Spirit.
Did you really?
Yes.
You used it?
Yes. It was like these fruity scents.
I forgot who had written it on. It was written on Kurt's wall at his house. It said, Kurt smells like Teen Spirit.
Look at that.
Wow. Really?
And what's that?
My temporary tooth just popped out.
Oh, my God. Steve's tooth just fell out.
Oh, that is too perfect.
I didn't know you had a temporary tooth.
Oh, yeah. The postman. Can you see that?
How did it come out?
I don't know.
You're not even. You don't have food in your mouth. Nothing.
No.
Can you smile for me?
Shoot.
What are you gonna do?
Now we gotta look at that all morning.
Oh, knock it off, you.
Wait, can I see your tooth?
There it is.
I don't want to see that. That disgusts me.
I can't believe your tooth.
Casey's losing it.
It feels so effed up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they put the post in and everything, so I got to...
So what, are you supposed to have an implant? Is that...
Yeah.
So that's the implant, there
the
until
implant, the... implant will go in. It'll go in.
So I guess I'll be going to Dr. Petula. I wondered why my little... I was drinking hot chocolate, my coffee.
Did you feel it?
And a little squirt came out. I'm like, why would that happen?
Oh, my God. We should all just go home.
That's too funny.
Oh, hey, Steve, thank you for my birthday present.
Oh, you poor man.
I'm about to see you.
At least you're laughing at it.
Oh. Oh. Well, there are worse things that could happen, certainly. My nuts could have fallen off. Yeah, I'll have to take
man.
This. Yeah.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
All right.
No, moving on.
Seriously. No. It's a Mickey Rourke look I'm rocking today.
Yeah, are we going to be able to do the show? Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I think I can. You just might hear a few S's that sound a little bit.
I can't look at you. I'm not going to be able to have a conversation with you all day. Oh, my God. We're falling apart. We are literally falling apart.
We just started.
Oh, it's
it's so early.
I'm drinking the mocha, and I'm like, wow, why is that dribbling? And then, uh-oh.
Wait, where is it?
What?
The tooth.
Marissa brought him a cup.
Who doesn't have a tooth cup in the morning?
Oh, my God.
It's too funny.
Oh, no.
There may be random moments of laughter today. Of just in the middle of whatever we have.
I'm just glad I can't see me.
But like you said, when he uses S.
Yes.
No, sassafras. That's all right.
Are you able to put it back in at all, or do you have to?
I could probably use some adhesive. And
hang on,
and
here, Maureen has a suggestion. Hey, Maureen, how you doing?
Hey, it's Maureen actually, but that's okay.
Oh, okay, what's up, Maureen?
If you put toothpaste on it, toothpaste will hold it until you can get to the dentist.
Toothpaste will hold
if
it.
If you put toothpaste on it and then stick it back in there, it should hold temporarily.
I'll be fine.
I think I might have some toothpaste if you want to try it.
Okay, I think I'll be fine, though.
All right. Thanks, Maureen.
Wait, but how does it normal? It just stays in normally?
It's secured in. So it's, you know, and
not,
that's not until,
so,
yeah, yeah.
Not so secure.
What happened was is that, you know, I was chewing something last night, and I thought I felt might have felt a crack, but I'm like, no, it's fine. So,
well, oh, okay,
yeah,
so that was.
It's not a chewer. Yeah. It's a.
No.
Not, it's not a chewer.
No. It's a biter.
It's a biter. Yeah.
Do we need to maybe Cho's sells like denture glue or something? Maybe we can try that.
All I know is that if I'm going to have any dental work done, I want it to be done through Cho's.
Steve, I can't look at you.
I can't see it. The microphone's in the way, so I'm good over here. I can have a conversation with him. You guys can look at each other.
Steve finally saw it.
Did he finally see it?
It is pretty funny.
Hey, I got some apples. Yeah. Would you like some apples?
You want an apple?
It's like your Billy Bob teeth.
Oh, God.
Oh, you should put the Billy Bob teeth.
You should wear those.
I got some dentures for you.
In case you came prepared.
These have been in my mouth. I'm sure you don't want them.
No.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's try to do the show.
Okay.
Where were we? What did...
gave away the...
We did the stupid question, right?
Crazy glue. No, I'm looking at some of these calls coming in. We did the stupid question. Dear God. All right. Mark Ruffalo has had a lot of luck on social media. The Oscar nominee was able to recover his lost phone and wallet during the blizzard in New York on Saturday. He tweeted about it and he got it back. Excuse me. He wrote, APB out for a cell phone and a wallet case out on the streets of New York City in a blizzard. My driver's license is in there. Reward and a signed pic. And he got, I'm wheezing now.
You haven't been able to lose that wheeze for a while.
Yeah. So he said he got the help he was looking for. Mark later tweeted, "Oh, my God, it was just found. That was freaking fast. Thanks for helping me find it." He also shared a photo with the people who reunited him with his phone and wallet and wrote, "Thank you, Aminade and Catherine Brown, for finding my phone and wallet. Thanks, Brown family, for your decency."
You're wheezing away. I'm slurping away.
I know, man. It's sad.
Your lungs are full of mucus. My tooth fell out.
We're going to have to remind people of that all morning long.
It's too good.
Yeah. It's been a rough week for the ladies in Charlie Sheen's life following last week's revelation that his ex-wife, Brooke Mueller, is back in rehab.
For the 15th time? 15th?
You have to stop.
No
He's not going to be able to get through the show.
I have to take it. I have to explore it for letters.
We're not going to make it through 7 a.m.
S's are fine, but F's are a
Yeah. Farfanugan. Farfignugan.
Oh, my God.
This is going to be the worst show we've ever done.
No, it's not.
No, that's saying
it's going to be brilliant. All right, so Brooke Mueller's back in rehab, and
for the 15th time.
There you go. That's better. He is now gearing up for a legal battle against Denise Richards over their children's trust. Denise filed a lawsuit against Charlie last week, accusing him of cutting off a trust that he set up.
See?
It's the feel-good story of the year.
Oh, Presto.
He set up for their daughters in the form of a new house, which he later evicted them from. She also alleges that Charlie's made threats.
Is this a house at 4550?
Oh, my God.
Farfins your way?
She also alleges that Charlie has made threats against her and her kids several times over the years. The Wild Thing star is asking for $1.2 million towards the purchase of a new home. Charlie's lawyer, Marty Singer, responded in a statement which read, "This motion has nothing to do with their children. Denise is simply being greedy. She isn't satisfied receiving $55,000 per month tax-free, more than what 99% of the people in the world make. Now she's asking Charlie to pay her more money so she can buy a second home because one $7 million home isn't enough for her. Wow, he's a jerk. let's see. Sounded like a good idea at the time, but the owner of a burger joint in North London had no idea that his burger of the month would land him in legal trouble with actor Mark Wahlberg. Ben Denner, the founder of the Lucky Chip, and once again, this is in England.
Okay.
It's in London. Names his burgers after a movie star each month without any problems. But when word reached Mark Wahlberg that he was being honored with the burger, Denner received a letter from Wahlberg's legal team demanding the restaurant stop using the actor's name.
Stop it!
Denner was being accused of explaining... I said a vision of another tooth falling out of your head when you said that.
And stop it! At this point, anything's possible.
Start shooting out of your mouth. Wahlberg, of course, is no stranger to the burger business. The 44-year-old co-owns the restaurant franchise Wahlburgers with his brother Donnie and Paul. Denner told the Evening Standard that they named the burger after Wahlberg because he said, I'm just a big fan. I think he's a dude, a great dude, and I'm a big fan of his movies.
You're a great dude.
And when he first opened the letter, he thought it was a joke, but reality soon set in, and he acquiesced, renaming the burger Dirk Diggler.
Ah, okay.
So that was a good move.
That's
right
a good runaround.
But the former burger known as Mark Wahlberg, featured a 35-day-aged Longhorn beef patty, braised beef short rib,
wow,
American cheese, pickled coleslaw, sriracha kewpie mayo, and spicy barbecue sauce.
But honestly, they have to go after this guy.
I know.
In London.
And he only does it once a month. Yeah. I mean, it's like it'll be on the menu for a month, and that's not the attraction, really. So, anyhow.
Seems ridiculous.
But, you know, sometimes, I mean, there was a story with Metallica recently. There was a tribute band that was using some artwork that was similar to theirs, and they sent over a cease and desist. It turns out it was the legal team. Once James and the rest of the guys found out about it, they yanked the cease and desist, and then they contacted the band. They apologized and said, we're sorry.
Okay.
Our legal guys got a little overzealous. We love the fact that there are tribute bands out there.
So. A lot of times what celebrities will do is they'll have these legal teams that do nothing but this.
Yeah.
You know,
okay. Exactly.
And scour the internet for copyright infringement.
Gillian Anderson was offered less money than David Duchovny for the reboot of The X-Files.
What?
Yeah, she recently chatted with
another tooth.
She recently chatted with The Hollywood Reporter, where she revealed that Fox tried to pay her less to reprise her role as Scully, despite the fact that she negotiated the same salary as her co-star back in the 90s. Jillian said, especially in this climate of women talking about the reality of unequal pay in this business, I think it's important that it gets heard and voiced. It was shocking to me, given all the work that I had done in the past to get us to be paid fairly. I worked really hard toward that and finally got somewhere with it. Even in the interviews in the last few years, people have said to me, I can't believe that happened. How do you feel about it? That is insane. And my response always was, that was then, this is now. And now it's happened again.
Huh.
I don't even know what to say about it. It's sad. It's really sad.
That might be their most formidable mystery, is how do they get equal pay on the show?
Yeah, exactly.
I watched the... Did you watch it?
No. I said forget it.
Okay.
And I DVR'd it.
What'd you think of the acting?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the football game.
Oh, no,
it was tremendous.
That was
I thought
that was
really
acting?
Playing football.
Well, then, bravo.
Oh, my God.
I bought every second of it.
I thought the acting was a little weak in the beginning.
Well, were you a fan of the show to begin with?
I never really watched it.
Okay.
I've seen the movies.
Yeah. I mean, I really love the show, but after because a while, it began to disappoint.
Well, it's a 6-part miniseries or whatever, so I'm like, okay, I can get into this.
So you watched the whole thing last night?
Yeah.
What time do you stay up till?
Well, usually on Sundays, I like to get to bed a little earlier.
Yeah.
But I was all hopped up from watching that game. So,
yeah. So how late were you up?
I was up until like 11:30.
Wow. I'm asleep at 11 o'clock.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys do
that.
Oh,
are you still in bed at 9?
9 o'clock.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely.
God bless you.
8:30 last night.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
what I went up to.
Shoveling all day yesterday, too.
It was electronics tonight on the Home Shopping Network.
Oh, I understand.
All right, so I'm ready for clips.
Yeah.
In the new show, Lou. Lucifer, the exiled son of God, manifests himself in our world and takes up a job punishing criminals for the LAPD. In this clip, star Tom Ellis summarizes the reasoning behind the Prince of Darkness abandoning his throne in hell. Here we go.
Loosely based on a DC comic about Lucifer Morningstar. He gave it all up, retired, and moved to Los Angeles, which in itself is a different kind of hell.
Shut the f*** up!
That sounds pretty stupid to me. So anyhow.
See, unless he's going to actually cause the people that he captures to explode into flames or bring them down to hell himself.
I don't know.
It's
understand.
Just going to be like any other police procedural.
What will it be like?
Procedural. Not bad, huh?
No.
Police procedural.
Now, if you said suspicious. Not bad.
All right. Lucifer.
I'm speaking down one tooth, by the way.
A little thing happened this morning in our studio. Steve was just chatting, and all of a sudden his tooth fell out. His front tooth fell out, his incisor.
I was doing something far more rigorous and stressful. I was drinking coffee.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't
and
realize that.
You know how taxing that can be to your teeth.
Yeah. Well, we have video of it, and it's up now on PresidentSteve.com. Nick Murphy got the incident when it actually took place. It's hilarious. We lost it. We absolutely could not stop.
You don't know
laughing.
How close I came to swallowing it.
I know it would have been horrible
because I was drinking at the time, taking a mouthful of coffee. And then, how much more terrifying would it be to see a turd with a tooth in it?
That'd be pretty
scary. So yeah, but. Dr. Krista Petula is getting me in at noon,
nice.
And she'll take care of everything for me and restore that posted tooth to its normal resting place. But for now, Preston and Bubba.
That's right, Preston and Bubba. Watch the video, though, because Casey and I were just absolutely losing it. Radiohead is reportedly headlining several major music festivals in North America this summer, as the British band is going to hit the road in support of his ninth studio album. They'll reportedly be on the bill at Chicago's Lollapalooza, San Francisco's Outside Lands, and Montreal's Oshiga Music Festival.
You know, I'm just a backwoods toothless hick, but I've never gotten Radiohead past the initial success.
Yep. Yeah, me either. None of these appearances, by the way, have been officially confirmed yet by either the band or any of the festival
organizers. What about Leonard Skinner, though?
I'm totally down with that.
Today. We should have played Allman Brothers and Leonard Skinner and some all morning long. I didn't even think about that.
It would have been perfect. Well, next time. Tomorrow I'll try to pop out another one.
See if you can get some Molly Hatchet.
I'll smash my head down on the counter.
A release date for the new album is also yet to be confirmed, by the way. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a second or two. A few things to get to this morning. We'll return.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Has anybody started to think about headed down the shore?
Oh, yeah.
This summer. Okay. Hey.
It's just funny because I was talking about it with Tim Graham, who works in our sales department. This week we had the Phillies game for Greater Media Day at the ballpark, and Tim and his wife bought a place down in Brigantine.
We've been there. It's really a nice place.
I've heard it's really nice. I don't know many people over the years who have gone to Brigantine, but Tim was raving about it, and that's sort of a pipe dream of mine to continue to live where
Tim.
I live. To live with Tim, mostly with Gina.
Not so much Tim.
No.
More Gina.
Yeah. No. To buy down the shore. And so I started looking in a cursory fashion.
What is the time? Whether you're buying or renting, what is the... Are we in now?
No, you should have done it already.
Should have done it already.
Yeah,
huh?
Probably like the fall or winter.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah. Too bad your dad didn't keep that Avalon house that he sold for like $6.
What an a-hole.
Yeah. I have a friend whose family bought something for like $25,000 in Avalon. It's worth $1 million.
Promise. Easy. Beachfront's just not desirable.
I'm sure I've said this many times, but my biggest financial regret of my dad's entire life was selling that house.
It still bothers him, right?
I hold you to this day, yeah.
Of course. Yeah, I mean, it's,
poor
you know.
Mr. McElhaney.
Nick, my wife and I are in the same boat. So what we did this summer is we actually rented a place for the summer. So
that's
we'll be,
awesome.
Yeah.
Which town or do you not want to say?
Wildwood Crest. No, okay. No, it's fine. I was never really.
How come you went there?
You know what? Okay, so my cousin has a place in Wildwood Crest, and we went down there. I was never really a Wildwood person, and we went down there for a beach blast, the soccer tournament my daughter was in, and we stayed in Wildwood Crest, and I really liked it. It's quiet. You know, North Wildwood is kind of like where more of the action and party stuff is at. Keenan's is there. And Wildwood Crest is
more kid-friendly, right?
Well, it's more residential.
Okay.
I think you have to call it the Crest, by the way.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. So, but my wife had, she had done a bunch of day trips in Brigantine last year. Really liked it. And we'd actually floated the notion of maybe running in Brigantine for half the summer and running in Wildwood Crest half the summer and seeing what we liked more. But we found a place in Wildwood Crest that it's not the nicest place, but it's close to the beach.
We did it when we went out and visited Tim and Gina at their place in Brigantine. I was really not that familiar with it. And to me, one of the most wonderful aspects of Brigantine is that you bypass that Garden State Death March.
But yeah. It's much closer.
It's much closer. Yeah. It is much closer. And that's one of the big benefits. And it's actually, I had no idea it was as nice as it was.
It really is nice.
We have a friend in my neighborhood and then somebody else here, and I'm not going to say who it was in case it's none of our business, but did this. And I think it's a pretty good idea because I don't go down to the shore very much. And so renting a place for the season is out of the question. That's just not going to happen. But we know somebody who has done the trailer thing.
Yeah.
If you're just going to go down there for a little while.
Right.
That's a pretty cool idea.
Well,
I like that.
You mean like an RV?
Not an RV. Like a double wide.
Oh, okay.
But they're kind of, some of the places, they're set. Like, they're more like houses. They don't, they don't right. move. But they
move.
Do.
They have additions on them that are, like, in the ground, not, like, on the...
Right.
A friend of mine has one, and it's a little community. They have a pool, like, a, you know,
they
pool
have a lake?
Yeah, it's really nice.
It's not scuzzy?
No, not at all. It's not, you know, the typical stereotype that you think of a trailer park. No, they're very nice, and they're more affordable, and, you know, you're down the shore.
Actually seems appealing to me because, like I said, we don't go down there that often. But if you go down, you know, every other weekend or something like that, and just for a couple of days, I think that's a cool idea.
I mean, the trailer that they got was less than 20. And
bought it.
Yeah,
$20.
$20,000.
Oh,
but
who?
$20
is not too good on the walls.
Somebody you know bought it for 20. What one for 20?
Less than 20. Yeah. You know this person too. But they also, you know, I think that they have to rent the space as well, right? So that's like an extra $5,000 a year or something like that. So, but it's right. There's a lake there, and there's a whole bunch of stuff and a pool, and
Usually just a few minutes drive if you want to get to the beach, 10 minutes or whatever.
Just outside of Sea Isle, I think.
Okay.
You just don't want to, you mind if I put my still up here?
No, it's not.
It's not that.
Okay, because that's the perception I have.
Uh-uh. No, it's not that at all. We used to go in college because a friend of mine, her family owned one. And it's, like I said, it's a little bit smaller, but they had what you were talking about, Casey, an addition that they put on. Mm-hmm. And it was so nice. Like, you're down the shore. We would go to her pool, sit at the pool, or if you wanted to go to the beach.
The pool was good?
Yeah, the pool was great. Right. But if you wanted to go to the beach, you did have to drive. But honestly, so what? We would go out, we would have a great time, and you were at the beach.
I'm going to go to, I have Pat on the line. Hey, Pat, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up, Pat?
I'm calling to talk about the trailer park.
Yes.
We have a mobile home. It's in Seaville, New Jersey, which is like 15 minutes from Sea Isle.
Mm-hmm.
We owned our ground. We owned our trailer. It has a pool, tennis court.
That's a big trailer.
Yeah, well, not, no.
You mean the ground tattoo.
Not inside the trailer.
I was like, because that thing has got to be taking up a couple lanes.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but the facility.
No, but I mean, it's really, really nice. We have a living room, a Florida room, a bedroom. I mean, it's really, really nice, and they look like homes. It doesn't look like a trailer.
No, did you say a Florida room?
Yeah,
well, there's posters of Florida like from Good Times. Room.
It's like a screened-in room, and it's big.
A screened-in porch type thing.
Yeah, okay. Sometimes they call them like a three-season room or whatever.
Okay.
You know what? Well, thank you, Pat. That's actually workable, especially since you're not... Now if you're going to be the kind of person that, you know, if you're down there a lot, I could see making the investment in a home. And, of course, you know, you have that equity. But if it's something a little bit more transient, like you're describing, Preston, that might be the way to go.
Mm, I've actually thought about it.
A friend of mine.
And then I stopped thinking about it. But
I would get a tent and put a deck on it.
Yeah.
No, another friend of mine purchased a house that needed a lot of work. Like, the whole thing basically needed to be redone.
Here's the doorknob.
Well, no, you know, it wasn't that bad. They lived in it probably for a summer without doing too much work to it.
Right.
But now, and you know, her husband does all of the work.
Oh,
so,
well, that helps.
Yeah, yeah, it helps. It helps tremendously. But now they have a beautiful beach house, you know, just did a new deck on it. Like, it just, it's so nice. And that they were able to go that route because he could do all the work.
Let me go to Brett. Hey, Brett, how you doing?
Pretty good, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy? Thanks, man. Appreciate it. What's going on?
My fiance actually has a grandmother that had a trailer down outside a sea aisle on a campground, and mm-hmm. her grandmother's is gorgeous, and they live next to an older gentleman who was nearing the end of his trail. You know what I mean? So they actually sold it to them for $1. They became friends with this old guy.
Wow.
And their trailer is really nice. My fiance was like embarrassed the first time he went down there to show me, but the inside's real nice, and they added the additional porch. So it's a pretty cool story that she ended up getting a beach trailer for $1, and they're grandfathered in at the campground, so they don't even have to pay rent.
Oh,
pretty
cool.
Much completely free. Okay.
So that, yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, are a trailer or is different than like an RV. It's more stationary.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean. Yeah, RVs have a vehicle on
Yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah.
Trailers don't. No, they're there. They're just a smaller house that can be moved if it needs it to be.
They're like what tornadoes eat.
Hang on a second. Let me go to a couple more, and then we have some other things concerning the shore that I want to pass along. Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
How are you? It's going good. What's up, Greg?
Not much. I heard you talking about the trailer park right outside of Seattle. I owned a trailer there formerly, and I gotta say that place is great.
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
How long have you had a place there?
We were there for about 8 years.
Oh, nice. Okay. And did you buy or do you rent those things?
You buy the initial trailer, and then every year you pay $5,000 of lot fees.
Okay. And which is not a lot.
No, it's very reasonable for being 3 minutes outside of Ocean City. Or Seattle City, New Jersey.
All right.
There.
And how often would you be down there?
Every weekend.
Every weekend. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what we're taking pictures are popping up in the studio here. And these look like homes.
Yeah. Yeah. They're nice, man.
Yeah.
But the reason I brought up the shore in the first place is I saw this story from the Clean Ocean. They're the Clean Ocean Action. They're an environmental group.
Yeah.
So they've done a sweep of the New Jersey beaches last year.
Okay.
Turn up your regular, you know, seashells and sandcastles and seaweed and stuff like that. But some not so typical beach items popped up as well, including a keg, birth control pills, and a rubber brain.
A rubber brain.
Yes.
There's usually the things that terrify you are the hypodermics and stuff like that. Was that in the list as well?
These are all the more interesting.
More
things,
interesting.
Right?
Okay, so rubber brain?
Yeah, you think they had everything but the kitchen sink, but no, they found one of those too. Toilet bowls? Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Rolls of toilet paper, a rug, a mattress, a vacuum cleaner, and a single size 13 sneaker were also found on the beaches. They conduct volunteer beach sweeps twice a year, and they tally the trashy toll to educate and sometimes nauseate people about how careless some people can be. The trash was either left behind by beachgoers, floated ashore after being tossed overboard from boats, or wound up on the beach after sewer system overflows during heavy storms.
It's amazing. I mean, obviously, there's this huge ocean and oceans out there where stuff can, you know, stay at sea for a long time and then just come up on the shore. So you never quite know the point of origin.
Mm-hmm. They found, let's see, the list also included a full bottle of wine, a beer keg, a bikini, socks, several pieces of underwear, and a container of birth control pills, like I said. They also picked up a half-torn dollar bill, a pacifier, a pair of baby shoes.
Natalie Wood.
And the rubber brain. They also found a stuffed goose head toy animal.
Oof.
A pickle jar, an industrial fan, a sleeping bag stuffed with rags, and a vintage Coke bottle.
It's also disgusting.
They also found numerous containers of what appeared to be urine.
Wait, where's my urine collection?
Is this all down the Jersey Shore?
It's out of Atlantic City.
Okay.
What the story is, so I don't know where they went up and down.
A container of urine,
When you're by the ocean.
When you can pee right in the water.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Did they find my friend's comforter that she lost when a tide came in while she was hooking up with the lifeguard and the lifeguard?
Oh my God. No, did that happen?
true story. She
lost her whole comforter?
She left with the lifeguard, went into their little, whatever, booth. The beach house the lifeguards, came back, and all her stuff was gone.
So she did the lifeguard in the shack there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. Have you ever lost, or have you ever seen, come across something on the shore? That terrified you?
No, but when I was
my friend found a body.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Dead body?
Dead body, yeah. In the
it
wrapped up in seaweed and the whole thing, right? Oh, wow. a la Jaws. Not bitten apart by a shark, but it was a bloated corpse.
Did they?
It was a kid, too.
They call the police and then stick around and see what happened?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's horrible.
I don't like that.
Nah. We found a dead horseshoe crab last year. Well, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Pull it out on the sand and then watch everybody walk by and look at it and pick it up.
Yeah,
it's prehistoric looking.
Yeah,
they make great brooches.
Wait a minute, hang on. Let me go to Phil. Hey Phil, how you doing?
What's going on, Preston? How you guys doing?
Good, man. What did you want to tell us about the beach?
I when I was younger, my little league days. Casey would know, I'm from Delco. I had played for Alden.
Oh yeah.
I was out Ocean City. A buddy of mine, we went down every year. I lost my Alden Phillies hat. All the teams had special hats. Our names were in all the hats. I lost it out playing in the water. 2 years later, same beach, 9th Street, found it under the lifeguard stand.
You found your hat 2 years later after it fell into the ocean.
Into the ocean 2 years later, came back.
Wow.
What kind of condition was it in?
It was almost black.
Okay.
I mean, it was a red Alden Phillies hat. I still could see my name in it, but I mean,
wow.
You'll talk about one of the filthiest hats I've ever had in my life.
I would imagine after being 2 years on the beach that it would be less than clean.
That's pretty cool.
Wow, that is cool. Kind of cool.
I mean, so cool that I would have kept it. You don't still have it, do you, Phil?
If I do, it's somewhere in my mom's house.
So you're going to be down. You're going to be down there for the whole season, Case?
Yeah. Listen, my wife loves the beach. I can take it or leave it. The actual beach part of it all. But my cousins are going to be down there. I'll be able to ride my bike and take my scooter down there. And
does it start Memorial Day weekend?
Starts Memorial Day and then
Labor Day.
Labor Day.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah.
So you're going to stay down there after Keenan's?
Yeah, I'll stay. Well, we'll still go out to breakfast.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we'll still go out to breakfast after Keenan's. That's
good.
Actually
get
one of
hell.
My favorite things.
Yeah, there's no way. You're not abandoning that.
No. So So when we're done on Fridays, I'll go down and stay out to Monday morning and come back.
That's one of the perks of this job, being able to drive down and avoid shore traffic.
Yes.
At a decent hour.
Absolutely.
I like going down to the beach, because we do the Keenan's broadcast on Friday morning, so we'll leave here after Thursday. I go straight down, open up my aunt's house, and then I stay through the weekend. I love that.
I want to do a little more time down there. We usually go
down.
You're
not a beach guy.
No, not really. I mean, we usually go down like once a year.
The off season's a great way to get to know it a little bit, because you get to know the towns more, and you see it when it's not jam-packed and you're fighting for shore. I mean, the beach on the sand, space on the sand.
Yeah. For you, though, Preston, because you bring that metal detector of yours, you have a great time.
Well, I told you last year we went camping down there, and that was fun.
It's great.
That was a really good time.
You know what? That's another reason why we went Wildwood Crest is that beach is so big that you're not piled on top of everybody. It's guarded, but the beach is real. I mean, there's so much beach in between, the part where you enter off the street
it's
and
deep,
the actual ocean. Yeah.
Do you need tags?
Probably.
Skin tags.
I have no idea.
Skin tags.
Now, there are a few beaches still.
I'm a skin tag checker.
I got one.
Now.
Did you just say I got one?
I got one. It's in my armpit.
But so you're good. You're covered.
Yeah.
You got one.
Yeah.
All right. You can stay. There's one right just under my balls.
I think you still, you don't know, man. You don't need tags, beach tags, not skin tags, in Strathmere. And there are a few other towns where you still don't need them. But most places, especially in South Jersey, you still need them.
It's so funny because my cousin is going to be a street over and like two blocks up from where we are. And they have been talking about my family being down there for like weeks now. I mean, they have these meetings, and I just got to...
They're for it or against it?
No, they're for it. They're for it. He's like, oh, my God, I got to see if I can get more kayaks. And, my cousin, his cousin through marriage got kayaks up in, like, Lake Wallenpaupack. I wonder if I could borrow those kayaks because, and he's making all of these plans.
That's very nice.
So. As if I'm going to be kayaking.
You know, cancel your plans. Just we're not coming down.
I just got a text from them on Saturday night. They go, we just had a meeting, and it's been decided since your house is closer to the beach that we're going to store all of our beach chairs at your place. And I'm like, okay, I guess, all right, that's fine by me.
It's just going to be, it was just decided I'm having your wife.
Right.
It's funny, though.
Since we're making plans without consulting each other.
Yes. Yeah. Those decisions are important. Like, yes. You start, like, where are we going to store the wagon filled with all the toys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all right, Casey's house is a block closer.
And you know what?
The kids' toys or Casey's toys?
That's fine. Yeah. That's fine. We got some places to put it. But, you were talking about being down the beach off season. We were down for a wedding 2 weeks ago down in, we stayed in Wildwood Crest, but we went to a wedding in Stone Harbor, and we were in Avalon. Is the Windrift in Avalon?
It's right on the border, right? Isn't it in between Stone Harbor?
Windrift is Stone Harbor.
It's wild. When you're down there.
Wow.
Nobody is down there.
I love it.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like nobody there.
Yeah. I agree. That's one thing I've always loved. And growing up on Long Island, we had the North Shore, which was more, between you and Connecticut. And then there was obviously the ocean side. Going to the beach during the colder months or, even now is just fantastic.
I went down for Thanksgiving to Cape May. There's just nobody there. And Cape May is a little more of a year-round town. There's stuff that's going on, especially over the holidays. But it is a little eerie when the lights are blinking yellow the whole time. And, like, it can be a bit of a ghost town. But it's just nice to be there without the crowds.
It's funny that you say the lights blinking yellow because it was pissing me off because I was going down New Jersey Avenue. Right. And I was catching red lights. And I'm like, there are no cars here. I am the only one. And I'm catching every and the way the lights were timed. I know. I was like, dude,
you're after.
Oh, and when they think they're being clever, what they're actually doing is promoting speeding. Because at a certain point, you get so pissed, you're going to start to try to beat the lights.
Beat the light,
beat
the
light,
and fly through it. Wow, a couple of people are texting Case that you don't need beach tags.
Sweet.
It says all Wildwood beaches are free, no tags needed. Wildwood Crest, North Wildwood, and Wildwood.
Yeah, it's funny because. The place that we rented, we sacrificed a couple of things in order to get this place.
So bathrooms?
No. Well, I mean, the one bathroom is a little bit weird, but it's not the nicest house. So there's this back room. It's big, but we have to find a carpet remnant because my wife's like, the carpet is so gross. I don't want our kids laying on it. So we actually...
If you got a good deal and you're comfortable with it, it's a good location.
Great location.
It's awesome.
And it's got a fenced-in yard. So we're going to bring the dog down.
Yeah.
And
some of the beaches allow dogs, correct?
I don't think Wildwood does, but yeah.
Usually in the summertime they don't allow dogs.
All right. What if you dress the dog as a child?
My child would
bark. That would be awesome.
My child barks a lot.
It's a condition.
Your child sniffing my child's ass.
Yeah.
But Press, if you want to come down and hang with us, you can do that. Yeah.
Might do that, man. Yeah. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Absolutely. By the way, I did see this, although it's not at the Jersey Shore. But in Wales, England, they now have the world's first selfie bench that is actually facing away from the ocean.
Oh, okay.
So you can sit and take a picture of yourself and have the ocean in the background.
You could always just
actually planned that.
Yeah.
And, well, how ridiculous.
It's called the selfie bench.
The selfie bench.
Mm-hmm. It's encouraging tourists in the town of Porthcawl to use the benches to capture photos of themselves in front of the sea.
Well, there you go. Wales trailblazing again.
A spokesman for the council said that one of the benches will be turned around following complaints from a local group.
That bench around.
Mayor said that he enjoys the novelty of the backwards-facing benches, and he hailed them as a genius marketing move. So you have more pictures sent out.
I bet you vacation plans are changing all around the world with the news of the ocean-facing bench.
There's a dog beach in Wildwood, Casey.
Yeah, my cousin just sent me a text.
And correction, Windrift is in Avalon.
It is.
Yes.
Well, it's right on the border, though, isn't
full
it?
Full of misinformation.
80th Street. Yeah, I think.
Where does Avalon become Stone Harbor? 80s or 90s?
90s, because 90s. The little shopping area is in the 90s, okay. And that's Stone Harbor.
You would know that.
I do know.
Yeah. Is that where the shopping is?
The ice cream shop is as well? That ice starts cream. With S?
Right. Ice cream?
Watson. Ice cream.
What's the best place to shop down the shore, Kathy?
Well, you know what?
Probably the Surf Mall in Ocean City.
Is that the place that you yelled at me for not going by?
Yeah. It's
why did you go there?
For kids, it's great. I just remember when I, when I was a kid or a young teenager, you would always, you know, head to the surf mall because that's where the other young teenagers, and it was right next to an arcade. But as an adult, you walk through, you're like, oh my God, this place is garbage.
It's a Springer's homemade ice.
That's it.
That's the place.
It's the best.
Is it good?
It's really good. Yeah, hand dipped and, you know, all the flavors you could want.
Is it better than Flex?
I don't know.
Okay.
I've never been to Flex. Where's that?
Well, I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
My cousin goes there all the time.
It's better than Flex? Can't be because I've never been there.
CKS.
So let's take a quick break. We'll come back in a moment.
What's new?
Why have you asked?
Godsmack. The Killers. Green Day. We just keep on
dreaming. New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Our next guests are no strangers to WMMR. By the way, Casey, where am I bringing the band up here? On the it's right here? All right, I got to make sure I have their audio ready to go. They are no strangers to the radio station. We started playing their song, Open My Eyes, quite a while back. And, in fact, we would be delighted, Steve, every morning that we would come in with our overnight jock.
Oh, my God.
Marcus, who is actually here in our studio. And we could hear him through the... Mind you,
soundproof
doors. Somebody! I mean, screaming at the top of his lungs with the monitors blasting.
Yeah.
And we got a kick out of it all the time. So much so, we're like, we got to have those guys out to the MMRBQ. Sure enough, yeah. They came out, and we've been playing Thundering Voices. Please welcome Rival Sons! Gentlemen, good morning and welcome back to Philadelphia.
Good morning to you.
I need to mention, of course, you guys are playing with the legendary Black Sabbath, and they are wrapping things up as a band, so it's going to be a great night for a concert. I assume you guys like playing in Philadelphia, just if not live, because otherwise you're going to get lynched. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's great coming through here. Really, really excited about tonight.
Awesome, man. And have you done dates with Black Sabbath up until tonight?
Oh, yeah. No, okay. We've been out with Black Sabbath since January.
Okay.
Yeah, we've through Europe, down in Portugal.
But Ozzy had seen you out at a rock performance, or was it he who first saw you guys and got intrigued by it?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we're playing the Classic Rock Awards in Los Angeles.
Was this like 2014? Around that time?
Yeah. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. So, cool, man. And here you are.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Very solid.
So, we have Jay, we have Scott, Dave, Michael, and Todd.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? Todd, you're from the area, I guess?
I am.
Nice, man. That's cool. Where are you
big,
from?
Big, long-time MMR fan. Nice. I even got you guys on my app phone.
I love it.
Everywhere I'm in the world, I always tune into you guys.
That is awesome. Cool. How did you meet these guys?
I lived in L.A. for a little bit. I've been friends with Miley. And when the band started, I was a fan. And they needed a keyboard player. So auditioned and got the gig.
Okay. And then Miley, drummer, by the way, they probably didn't give you a microphone back there, did they?
I have some overhead.
Okay. Dude, I'm a drummer. They never give us microphones to talk. But actually, it was interesting how you got in the band. It was kind of through Isaac Hayes, wasn't it? Or something like that.
Yeah, well...
Isn't that the story?
I like that.
Yeah. Let's go with that. Let's go with Isaac Hayes.
We're going with that.
It was the Church of Scientology.
It was, yes, even
the
better.
Church of Scientology. Wow.
No, but I had read you had met the former bass player at Isaac Hayes' house or something along those lines.
Yeah, it's pretty fun night.
Okay, nice, man. And we were actually watching a video, Scott, not that long ago of you. They give you a microphone over there? No.
I got one down. I'm talking this thing. Hello? Can you hear me?
But you were taking people on a tour of your record collection.
Oh, yeah.
Which is extensive, right?
I mean, it's reasonable.
Yeah.
Reasonable constitutes how many records, would you say?
I haven't counted them. It's at least... Well, good 150 records, I'm sure.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's it?
That's really not that impressive.
250? Who's counting?
Exactly. We're expecting like 1,000 or 3,000
or something along those lines.
You, it's all organized differently now, right?
It might be
3,000. It might be 3,000.
You don't count.
That's a proper record collection. They all have to be spread out. The records aren't in the proper jacket. That's a real record listener.
It is. Yeah. But anyhow, so you guys have been out on the road for a stretch now. What at what point do you does it come to an end? You take a rest and then kind of get back to the creative process.
When the tour is over,
yeah. We'll tell you when that happens.
when the tour is over, we go home.
Yeah. Yeah. And where is home for everybody? Is it back in California?
I just moved my family out to Nashville.
No kidding.
Yeah, we moved out there in March, so that's been really nice.
Okay.
Actually experiencing the seasons.
Yeah, I just had a friend who went there for his birthday and just had an absolute blast in Nashville.
Oh, it's a fantastic city.
It has a long-standing history of music, but now it's just across the boards. You know, it's not just country, it's rock, it's everything. I mean, it's a mecca now for this.
It's basically the center of the universe for music.
It's wild. Know? Yeah, because it used to be you'd head out to, to L.A., and that was, if you're rock, you would do that, but not anymore.
No, it's different. It's diversified, and it's a rapidly growing city.
Have you seen over the time just in the way the industry has changed where, I mean, not only that relocation, but also in the way people get their music heard? Has it been accentuated or hurt by things like YouTube and your stuff getting out there?
I think that's a worldwide question.
It's
a worldwide phenomenon for especially the music industry. The record companies, it's crumbling and rebuilding and crumbling and rebuilding constantly.
It's a morphing process.
Yeah.
But how about the recording process? Because now you have the capability to be in different locations and record and get good quality sound as opposed to, guys, we got to meet at this studio for this particular week and this is when it's going to happen and we're going to lay it all out there. Now, with the way technology is, you can get great sound and be in different places.
Technology is really trippy. I'm actually at home. On my couch right now.
You are not here? Yeah. This is a holographic projection.
This is great. I know Scott is on vacation. He's camping.
Unbelievable.
With the kids.
No wonder we can't hear him very well.
Right. Raise your hand if you're animatronic.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So how do you guys collectively get together and create a sound that you're all okay with?
It's definitely a process. It's a...
Yeah.
You're never okay. Right? Not everybody.
That's a good question, though, because at a certain point, when do you just say... Because you guys have a great sound, but do you have to just train yourself to just say, "All right, done, let's move on"?
That's why we hired a producer.
Yeah. No, I think it takes a lot of trust, and we've made enough records that each time the process is the same, but we're different as people.
Okay,
so you're going in there with the same basic ingredients, but the X factor ends up being where you're at the moment, in your head and your heart.
All right, well, we'd love to get a song out of you guys, so...
No way.
What do you feel like?
He's not even here, Preston.
I know, I'm trying.
Hold on, I'm uploading. Okay, ready to go.
All right.
I know Kung Fu.
All right. Let's see what we get. This is Rival Sons on 93.3 WMMR. Here we go.
Where we at?
Yeah,
Jesus.
Dude.
You know, Preston, we love John Fogerty. You know, one of the greatest voices. I mean, Jay, you remind me so much of that sound. That's just your command. And
that's quite a compliment.
Your projection, yeah. I can't help but think of that because there's, you know, I'm sure it takes a lot of work, but it seems effortless and the sound comes naturally. So, yeah. And I always thought that about John Fogerty, just where it came from. But yeah, I love John Fogerty.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Thank you.
Yeah, you guys weren't wearing headphones, so you couldn't hear it. You guys sounded really good.
And by the way, Jay, and if you're just tuning in, it's Rival Sons. They just played the song Baby Boy, 93.3 WMMR. But Jay, you did one of the things that Casey loves to do, and it's the double clap. He does it to almost every song, and he always tries to get all of us to do it along with him.
We
usually don't take him.
No, we don't like to do that. It's not that they don't, that no takers, they hate it. They hate it when I do it, when everybody else does.
Sometimes you're taking away from a song, and Kathy says it's
if
you.
If it's Color My World, and you're going...
Yeah.
Hey, anybody can clap just once.
Right. Yeah. Hey, Todd, are you playing a hooter because you're from Philly?
you can call it a hooter.
What are those things actually called?
It's called a melodica.
A melodica?
It's basically a kid's toy. And I'm just
But yours has like a hookah attachment on it of some sort.
Well, it's actually filled with scotch. Yeah. It's filled with scotch.
Yeah, I'm not even playing. I'm just drinking.
So you actually blow through it the way one would do a bagpipe or something.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Todd, what am I saying? Is there glitter in your beard?
No, it's just oil.
Okay, sorry.
It's Munchkin.
Oh, you're the one that smells. Okay.
Well, maybe
I was wondering who that was.
Wow. It's a really greasy breakfast.
It's just greasy. It's a greasy thing.
Yeah, please don't touch it. You'll slip right off.
Do you guys, do you write songs while you're touring? Is it possible to do that? I know it used to be back in the day people would try to write as they were touring as well.
Well, I think it's definitely possible. When we make our records... we basically go in with nothing.
Oh.
We go in with nothing so that we have to create right on the floor.
Okay.
And we do that so that we can try to capture, like, the creative flashpoint. And so that what you end up hearing on the record is our first or second take.
Wow.
So we don't really know what we're doing. Like, it isn't ingrained in us. So that we aren't reciting the song.
Because there's
so many unique approaches to writing songs. Everybody's got their own way to do it. I write my lyrics first. I write this, I write the melody, or we all get together and we jam, or something along those lines.
I think we really want to mix it up.
Yeah.
The idea one day I'll have something to bring to the guys. The next day Jay will come in with a song.
Okay.
Maybe in the same day we'll just work off the floor, kind of immediate with notes from our producer going something like this.
Right.
We'll all start working off a groove or off a riff.
Really. We'd like to have a percentage of this, we'd like to have a percentage that comes out of just being together in the studio, or is it just happen naturally?
We want 100% good.
That's your goal.
We can live with that, whether it's a bunch of slower numbers or picked up numbers. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, there's not a hard fast rule about it, other than it has to be written within the confines of the record. Of being in the studio.
Sometimes bands are surprised by what fans gravitate towards as far as songs go. And a song that they thought, well, that was just kind of a throwaway. And listen, I'm sure it's like children. You have your favorites of songs. They're your babies. They're your kids.
And then the others go to military school.
Yeah, but there are some of them that you like more than others. Open My Eyes. Did you know that was going to kind of be a breakout for you when you wrote it, when you started? Or did it just say it just kind of happened that way?
I think it was... It was pretty early on. As soon as we put it together, I could definitely feel it.
It should have some kind of legs.
Yeah.
Not that maybe that we didn't know if it would be where it would come into play, at what point on that record cycle. But
yeah.
I think we all felt this one should do something.
Except Mike, because he was shaking his head. He thought it was a piece of crap.
Well, that's our barometer.
That's your barometer?
Yeah, yeah. When he hates something, we know we missed it.
We got a hit, man.
That's why you don't have a microphone,
it's
man.
It's good to have a guy like you.
was the first version of it as wailing as... vocally taxing?
Yeah, what's on the record is the first version.
That's the first version.
Jesus.
Yeah,
because you're going for it. Is that the threshold of your vocal capabilities? Because you're way up there on that song.
I don't know.
Remains to be seen.
Until the new program's downloaded, that's where you are.
That's all I have.
All All right, what? I think, are you guys, are you going to do another song for us?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's do it, man. What are we going to hear?
Open My Eyes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rival Sons on 93.3 WMMR. WMMR, God live damn. In our studio to open my eyes. I know, man.
Can you put that one on the record next time?
That was amazing. Nick, did you get any spit on you? You're pretty close.
I'm going to keep it if I did, because that was...
I'm never going to wash this hat again, dude.
I'll tell you what.
That was amazing.
That grunt that you did at the end of the song, oh, my God. You got wood, don't you? No. Oh, don't turn it into that. Okay. I got chills.
Okay.
I got chills. It was amazing.
Thank you. I don't know. You know what? It takes a special person who can...
The drummer's talking.
What's that?
The drummer's talking.
No one can hear.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Hey, his name is Mike, for crying out loud. The drummer.
Kathy doesn't even know his name, and he's not even Mike.
Did you say you were grunting?
I was grunting.
He was grunting.
It was Mike grunting.
Yeah. No, no, it was. I don't know if it's a grunt. It was. We'll play back the
Can
tape.
Can you describe the grunt?
It was a vocal. Like there were no words. It was like yeah.
That's not a grunt.
Well, what
That's
would you
a
call
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
It's a lick.
It was a lick.
Yeah.
Grunt.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
It's called a grunt.
Right. Yeah.
Technically, it's called a grunt.
So when you're taking a dump. What sound do you make? A grunt? Or is it a, yeah, yeah!
I'll tell you what. Oh,
that would be awesome.
It reminded me of Jack Black, and I don't know if it was from a song called Dude, I Totally Miss You, but you know what I'm talking
I'll
about.
I'll take it, yeah.
Beautiful.
It's wild that you can do a whole tour and continue to do that night after night. I'm sure you got to baby your voice a little bit some point during the day.
Yeah, you got to take care of yourself. You know, a really good example of things going wrong is last time when we came through here, I was really sick.
Yeah, I remember.
And we had just come off of a lot of shows in a row, and I remember, you know, we had to cut our set a little bit short because there was nothing there.
Right.
That's only happened twice.
Yeah.
But it's possible, you know.
Yeah, you're at the mercy of your body. I mean, there's only so much you can do, and I know you want to give the fans a show, but you don't want to give them a substandard show, you know.
Of course.
You know.
Yes.
So I think it definitely, and we appreciate you at least coming out and doing what you could that particular night, but we knew it was
always
difficult.
Yeah, of course.
Everyone loved it. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, listen, we want to thank you guys for coming by here this morning. We know you got a gig tonight and you need to rest up for that. But we're big fans and we appreciate you taking out the time.
We really appreciate your guys' support.
No problem. Know? And Thundering Voices, the new one, that's really got a cool, unique sound to it. Each time I hear it, I'm like, you know, I'm listening to it with different ears each time, trying to pick out different parts of the production. Very original piece of music. Is there anything that you can tell us about that?
Well, I think the in between the drums and the guitars, like, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And there's so much character as soon as they start playing.
Yeah.
You hear it,
yeah.
You know, and I know for me, writing to it and doing, you know, my contribution, it was easy because the music was so good.
Oh, out there. Cool, very man. Cool.
Well, thank you guys. Thank you, Jay, Scott, Dave, Michael, and especially Todd.
Yeah.
Chicken pie, chicken pie, chicken pie, pie. I love that guy. All right, Brian, let's go, guys.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast, 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Our next guest is on the line and ready to go, and he and his band are performing in Atlantic City Friday night, 7:00. They're playing the Borgata. Very interesting gentleman.
You described him as a Renaissance man. Were you talking about him earlier?
I think that would be the proper way to put it.
He's
got his hands in a lot of stuff, all the way from, you know, music, obviously, but food and wine, acting, martial arts, all this stuff. He's a very creative guy. Please welcome to the show, Maynard James Keenan.
Yeah.
Morning, Maynard. Thanks for coming on this morning.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good. Going pretty decent.
Who's this Renaissance guest you have coming on? <That's pretty cool.
laughs> You know what, though? You really... do you have much downtime? I mean, you really are involved in a whole lot of stuff.
Say those words again.
I said, "Are you? Do you ever have
down.
Much
down?" It's words he has no comprehension of. It's just not in your vernacular. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I have no idea.
Okay.
Now you seem to. I mean, being a creative person, I would imagine you've just constantly got thoughts and ideas that something needs to be done with them, and so you choose to, as opposed to putting them into, you know, just one package. Spread them out all over the place, and obviously the music sometimes can lead to things like acting and so forth, and in that creative realm. But the one surprising one I found, but one that you seem to be more passionate about than any others, and I may be wrong about that, is the winemaking. And I'm curious where that came along in your life and how you started to head down that path.
My great-grandfather made wine in northern Italy, so I have a little Italian blood in me. So I think I just kind of caught the bug one day, and it just kind of following it ever since.
You know, it's fascinating because I don't drink, and I'm fascinated though with the wine culture and having gone out to various vineyards. And my wife is a big wine aficionado. She loves it, not to the point where it's become an issue in our lives, but there is a culture that surrounds it. I'm fascinated with. Did you? So you say it's in the family. Is it the kind of thing where you know, once you catch the bug, it's foremost in your thoughts, and it's you know, it just drives everything you do? Or is it the kind of thing you can kind of have on the periphery because you do have so much else going on?
Well, there's certainly busy seasons. So harvest, I have to be there. Me and my wife are making the wines. I have a friend of mine, Tim, that's helping in the cellar this last couple of years. But for the most part, it's just us. So it's
wow.
It requires your presence.
Yeah,
I'm there.
What's the coolest step in the process? Is it when the bottle is finished and you open it and you drink it, or what along the way is the one thing that you really look most forward to?
Seeing the fruit show up in the condition you hoped it would show up in.
Okay.
We have the Chadsford Winery out here and the vineyards in the area, and going out and having them explain that whole process is fascinating, but it is a very precarious one. And they've had situations where, you know, they've lost a whole lot just because the weather simply didn't cut their way. Have you had a similar situation occur with your wine?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you're a slave to the sun and the rain. As soon as those things wake up in March, you're kind of biting your knuckles until you actually see the fruit show up.
Yeah, I find it wild that you know, season by season and year by year, you know, the premier wines can change. You know, so I think it was like 2008 in Willamette Valley. That was the year for Pinot Noir. That's where you wanted to get it from, and then that changed. You know, in a matter of a couple of years' time.
Yeah, and that really is what it comes down to. It's just the region itself can produce great grapes. Then it's just a matter of us as farmers and as winemakers holding our feet to the fire to do the right thing. Don't cut corners, just like Oregon did.
Yeah.
And bring you some really interesting Italian and Spanish varietal wines.
It's fascinating. I was reading an interview with Francis Ford Coppola, and he was saying basically that, and it's the truth, financially, the wine that he makes, the Coppola wine, has eclipsed all of his earnings in film. by a geometric level.
That doesn't happen for me.
It's a process.
Yeah.
But
would I be talking to you if it happened?
Hell no.
I'll take envelope numbers.
Dude. I love it. All right, well, let's talk Pussifer for a moment. And step number one is because people are divided on the pronunciation of that band. I've heard Pussifer, I've heard Pussifer, I've heard Pussifer as in Lucifer.
And
do you prefer any particular way, Maynard?
It's Pussifer, like Puss in Boots.
Like okay. Puss in Boots. It is Pussifer. Okay. You know what?
Are you picturing me as Puss in Boots right now?
I am.
And you look adorable, by the way.
Yes.
Thank you.
But listen, your music, both with Pussifer and with Tool, are a very cool, complex nature with which I really love. I mean, I hear flavors of like Latter-day King Crimson and really experimental music, which I think is really cool. You experiment around with different time signatures, unique sounds and so forth. Is it safe to say it's kind of a stream of consciousness type of thing that you just whatever comes out of you is what you're putting out?
Well, with Pussifer, it's a lot of me coming up with ideas in terms of I'll read a book, I'll see a film. I'll hear a conversation, I'll hear a song, and I'm just going to jot those down for Matt, and we'll kind of paint a picture mm-hmm. of what I have in mind for a mood or a rhythm, and then Matt will just start trying to put it together and bring me stuff, and he'll say, like this, and we'll finally kind of nail it down, and then we'll pursue it.
Do you ever find yourself saying, nah, that's too weird, or that's a little too complex, or do you just roll with it?
No, nothing's too complex. It's just okay. All, you know, it all becomes a conversation. And, you know, conversations can be weird, but mm-hmm. you can find your way through them.
So, go ahead,
Russell. What is the difference between the Pussifer fan and the Tool fan? Can you kind of see them coming when you meet them? Oh, that guy's a Tool fan or that guy's a Pussifer fan? Or do you find them mainly they're fans of both bands?
Yeah, I don't really know. A lot of it's just they're just fans of music, so it's hard to tell. I mean, of course, it would be obvious that they're wearing one or the other shirt.
Yes. A concert T-shirt is a good tip-off.
Guess that guy's a Tool fan.
Not to be obvious, but you know, yeah, that's. But the, you know, I've seen them. I've seen the opposites at other shows. You know, I've seen Perfect Circle shirts at all the shows.
Yeah,
Pussifer shirts at all the shows. Tool shirts at all the shows. I think they're just fans, especially with Pussifer, they're on for the ride. They get that there's
a very Andy Kaufman approach to what we're doing, so they enjoy it.
That's cool. Hey, just sort of bringing the two together, Pussifer and Wine, you have a show at the Borgata on Friday. I don't know if you've ever played the Borgata before, but they have a really cool Italian restaurant slash wine cellar in the basement. I don't know if you've ever been there, but if you do have an opportunity, I suggest you go check it out.
Yeah, I've been there quite a few years ago. And yeah, you're absolutely right. There was a fantastic restaurant and a crazy wine cellar. It's fantastic.
Nice. Hey, you know what? Earlier this morning, we were running through some, we saw some birthdays, and one of them is Ed O'Neill, the actor. He's a black belt
today?
In Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Yeah. Also, we're friends with Frank Grillo, who is heavily involved in MMA and is a great fighter himself. Obviously, you are in BJJ, and recently, I think you got a belt not too long ago. What rank do you hold now, Maynard?
Purple belt. I was a blue belt. I had a back injury that I couldn't train for about nine years. Mm-hmm. That's all healed up, and now I'm back in it, so I'm purple now.
And this started off from a wrestling background in your earlier years, correct?
Correct.
All right, and I've always told people, because I've trained in martial arts myself, and the groundwork is too much for my knees. I just can't handle it at all. But it seems to be that Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Jiu-Jitsu in general is just a really great base for pretty much most of any kind of martial arts training. Have you flirted with some of the other styles, or mainly stuck with that?
Mainly stuck with that. I think the biggest benefit of training jiu-jitsu is that you can grow into it, and you can age with it, because the more your game changes as you get older, you're changing, you're accommodating the fact that you're going to not be faster, you're not going to be stronger, and jiu-jitsu is that sport. In that game, that you can accommodate that change in your body. With wrestling, you know, I think wrestling is a bigger foundation than jiu-jitsu for people, just because high school wrestling, it's balls out. It's a good way to find out who you are.
Yeah, it's the one thing I look back and go, man, I wish I would have done that in high school. It would have really been a good basis. And I'd mentioned Ed O'Neill, and I know sometimes the circles can be kind of small in that community. Do you know him or Frank Grillo? Are you friends with those guys?
I have never met either that okay. I know of. Maybe in passing. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
to Ed O'Neill.
Well, do you automatically have a respect for somebody when you find out that they've have accomplishment or achievements in BJJ?
Yeah, absolutely, because it's not easy. Yeah. It's not an easy thing to do. And it really is a humbling experience. You see a lot of people that get into it, and as soon as they get any belt, they quit.
Yeah.
So there's a big ocean between the number of blue belts and the actual number of purple or brown belts.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, speaking of quitting, I was introduced to the world of wrestling this year. My 8-year-old son joined, and it was intense. And, you know, as a parent, it was hard to watch. I was watching kids wrestle and cry at the same time. And you had mentioned something during when you were talking about wrestling in high school, and it was something that I had said to my son, because, you know, quitting was, in my mind, wasn't necessarily an option, but for him it was. And I said, well, this is an opportunity for you to show yourself what you're made of. And I'm not being a hard, you know, core wrestling dad, but,
you test your mettle.
Test your mettle, yeah.
Right. And it really is that. But being there to support them, to go, okay, there are no, like looking at Conor McGregor's recent fight, you win, you learn, or you're a loser.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's really no.
And he learned.
Right. Yeah. There's no nuance. It's just what it is. And Preston, you were saying that in with the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and I'm sure this is the case, and Maynard, perhaps you can verify this. At some point, you'll be training, and the person you're training with or your teacher will say, okay, you've now earned this next increment. That it's not some sort of rigid test. It's you just accrue them over time, and if you're exhibiting the capability, then you get the belt bestowed on you. Is that, in fact, how it happens, or is it another whole system?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's some schools will end up bringing you in to give you kind of a formal test at some point, but they're probably not going to bring you in to give you that formal test until they've actually felt that you're actually ready for the test.
Okay.
And it's something you're going to continue as black belt. Is that ever on the mind, or do you just you keep going, and if it happens,
I'm not really worried about the belt.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it would be nice to someday earn my black belt, but yeah. You know, just by the touring schedule and the winery schedule, it's hard to keep up with a with a weekly trading schedule.
Sure, absolutely. You try to do a little bit on the road if you can. Maybe meet up with some schools when you're in town.
As much as I can, yeah, okay. Absolutely.
And having you on, we have to ask a question about Tool. I know there's been talk over several months about the band in the writing process. Anything you can comment on that?
No, not really. I mean, I'm still they're still doing what they do, and I'm
right.
still hopeful.
Yeah. So you come along in the latter portion of the creative process. They put together the musical pieces, and then you come in and incorporate lyrics and melody and all that stuff to it. Is that the formula?
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically.
Okay. Well, as much as we love anything you're putting out, Tool is definitely some pretty badass material and has a great history, and can't wait to see when that comes up. So continued success, man. You got a lot going on. Someday maybe you'll slow down, but I know you really don't want to. But thanks for coming on this morning, Maynard. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you later. Yep. Maynard James Keenan. Why did I hit that music?
I don't know. Probably because you expected some Pussifer or something like that.
I'm going to play some Pussifer. No.
Okay.
Cool guy.
Yeah.
Very cool guy. And he is, I was reading his, and I didn't want to go into, the history of his life or anything like that.
And then you were 16.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But he had an interesting upbringing. His dad was a wrestling coach, made his way up through that. He joined the Army to help him get into art school, part of the GI Bill.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and I think was going to be appointed at West Point. And along the lines, he got his nickname Maynard somewhere in the military, and he liked it and stuck with it. But he while, still being military and having that disciplined background of wrestling and things like that, he still just was this extremely creative guy, just, poetry and music and acting and all these other things.
Yeah. And I knew that I wanted to have him on, but I also wasn't sure if he was going to be a tough interview or not. So I asked Jackson about, because I think he had talked to him, and he's like, it's a tough one. You sort of have to caress it a little bit. And, so you guys did a nice job of talking about the wine. So,
I actually am fascinated, though, by that. As someone who's really a non-drinker, sometimes if it's a super sweet wine that tastes like Welch's grape juice, I'm on board. But the culture around it, having gone to,
Napa.
Napa, right? Was fascinating. The whole thing and the process, and as he was describing, the finessing of the grapes and all this effort that you put in can summarily be destroyed by a frost or something.
Right.
It's pretty wild.
But I was asked to not have any questions about Tool because I guess he's completely immersed in Pussifer right now. But obviously if you do the interview and you talk about all of his interests and stuff like that, then you can slide a Tool question in there.
Yeah. But you can slip your Tool in. Yes.
Is that right?
No, I think he's cool. He's a cool dude. A lot of people are texting him that it was, he's kind of on the boring side. He's just a very low-key guy.
Yeah.
But a different story. You put a microphone in front of him.
Yes.
Give him an instrument to play.
Bottle of wine.
Yeah, bottle of wine. That only knows.
Does he drink on stage like Eddie Vedder, drinking the bottle of wine on stage?
I've never seen Tool, and unfortunately, I do not know that. But I do know this.
Yeah?
Hop shortages mean craft beer prices are up.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
They're up already. Oh,
what?
I mean, they were expensive to begin with.
Notice this?
I just noticed it. I like it this very second.
Preston Elliott, the noticer.
We're talking about wine. I noticed something about beer.
Bad is the situation? What can we expect? Will there be lines of people? Will there be beer lines?
There's always beer lines. Prices could soon go way up as independent brewers face a potentially serious shortage of hops. Last summer's hot and dry conditions apparently weakened the European hop harvest. Craft beers use a lot of hops. So I guess, are hops mainly grown in Europe, I guess?
Well, you know what? That's so weird that you say that, because we got an email from a guy who grows them here.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And apparently this is, I think it's like, it's a new thing.
A new thing to grow hops here in the U.S.?
I always thought that hops were grown here quite liberally.
Let me see if I can find the email.
I go to the Hopiterium on City Line.
Well, I know that the variety of hops are specific, aren't they?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
I thought a hop was a hop.
And
let's go to the hop.
Industry sources say prices of some hop varieties have risen by up to 50%, while others are up to five times more expensive or simply not available at all.
So they're made in, or grown, I should say, in case you just mentioned the Willamette Valley in Oregon, Western Canyon County in Idaho. So there are spots in the U.S. where they grow them.
Yeah, and Nick, look at the hop-producing countries. The United States is second.
So,
but I guess Germany is where you get most of them from.
Because it's a big beer-drinking, making country.
Jam your hops in your Lederhosen.
Yeah.
Yes, Kathy?
Sorry, I was just reading the email. I found it. So apparently there's been a resurgence in growing hops in New York, Michigan, and Illinois and just in the past 5 years. There's hops farms emerging in Pennsylvania and Maryland, and they have 2.5 acres of hops in northern Berks County, this woman that emailed me.
Okay. Well, I guess anywhere that there's going to be, you know, the weather's going to be causing an issue with crops, it's going to impact whether you heck in the U.S. or in Europe, it's going to have an impact on
you're talking about the hops prices. Crops.
The hops crops, yes. Most brewers have contracts with hop growers that protect them from sudden price surges, but future supply is at risk, and the scarcity may also get worse as big beer brewers such as Anheuser-Busch, InBev, and SAB Miller buy up craft brands and ramp up their production.
To know what the price is going to be because, like I said, it was already expensive for
craft beers.
For craft beers,
they're definitely pricier than the Buds and the Millers of the world.
I like trying new beers, but I'm sort of past the craft beer phenomenon now.
I have been for a long time.
Yeah, and I like what I like, you know, and I'll try something new if I'm in a bar or I'm in a different area. You know, I'll sample something, but I don't go out of my way to buy something completely.
You're
new
more
and different.
Into pills now. You said
no. I mean, honestly, at this point in my life, you guys know I'm more of a wine drinker.
A wine guy, yeah.
Anyway. But you know what, Nick? It's not a phenomenon. I mean, it's not a passing
what do you
fad.
Mean?
Well, it's not something that
craft
just,
beer.
Yeah, craft beer. It's not something that sort of came and went. It has surged and it is now. I mean, the market is completely saturated compared to what it was even 10 years ago.
It all depends on what I'm doing and what I will have to drink. If I'm going to have a beer, you know, with a meal or something like that, yes, I'll try to make it something different with some flavor, a craft beer or something like that. But if I'm going to, you know, a hockey game or if I'm having friends over, we're at a party, I'm going to have, you know, six beers.
Yeah,
I'm not going to drink craft beers. I'm going to drink something that goes down pretty smooth and easy.
So, speaking of which, Press, they've gotten, like, there's a place in Ardmore called Tired Hands where they have, like, session craft beers.
What is that?
So it's just
easier to drink.
Easier to drink, lower in alcohol level. So usually if you're going to drink an IPA, you're probably teetering around the 8-9% alcohol
Casey,
range.
Are they a little less bitter and hoppy?
Well, it depends. Beers? It depends, but
because that's what I don't. The beer fanatic goes after that overly hoppy aftertaste, you know, flavor. I don't like that.
IPA.
I don't like IPAs. I avoid them. I will have one on occasion,
right.
but that flavor, it's like cilantro or something like that. Either you like it or you don't.
Then you're looking for an IUD.
I'm looking for an IUD. Yeah. We are done with kids, as far as I'm concerned. Marissa.
I got into this whole beer thing a few years ago when I started doing Philly Beer Week, which is an amazing event that happens in Philly. We're really lucky. I didn't realize that, like, Philadelphia is the only city that has a beer event this big.
Okay.
And there's actually another event coming into town. It's called the CBC. It's a convention for brewers. So they're happening, like, a month apart. So that's, like, really huge for Philadelphia as well. But I did find out that the trend this summer is going to be sour beers.
Sour beer.
Like Lambics?
Yeah.
No thanks. But it's a trend, so have fun hopping on board.
There you go.
I'm tired of that. I don't care for beer snobs either. It kind of bothers me.
You like jerky and chocolate milk.
That's all I need.
Oh, my God. At the same time?
Yeah.
Gross.
You dip the jerky in the chocolate milk? But then again, that's me. So anyhow.
You know what you like.
Prices are going to go up. Because of the hop shortage.
The hop crisis.
Yeah.
There was a lady sitting in front of me yesterday at the Phil's game, one row in front, who was eating a lot of jerky. She brought like her own bag of jerky.
I like jerky.
I was like,
I like it from behind,
and not like a Jack Link's bag, but like her own Ziploc
bag of jerky.
I make my own. Remember that for a while they were advertising the home jerky maker.
I would like to make my own jerky.
I have a friend that did it.
Yeah, he
was good at it.
Was it good?
Yeah. He did turkey jerky and venison jerky.
I made turkey jerky.
Yeah.
Remember when you ruined the zipper on my purse by shoving a bag of jerky in my purse?
I do remember that.
What was that all about?
There was like a huge, we got jerky. Somebody sent it to us, right? Like bags and bags of it. And so Casey, and I hate it. I think it's disgusting. So Casey put a bag inside my purse, but when he zipped up my purse, the plastic, when it was very thick plastic, got caught in the zipper, and now my purse won't.
Was it vegetarian jerky?
It'll open now.
It's still, the plastic is still stuck in there.
No, it's like when Joe ruined her jeans. She complained about it. We shot hot sauce.
We didn't complain about anything, but you ruined my purse.
I did not.
Hang on. I have Steve, who's a brewer, wants to talk about this stuff. Hey, Steve, brewer, how you doing?
How you doing, guys?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Nothing. You guys were talking about different types of beers and hops and the shortages and things like that and the prices going up. A lot of that, I mean, you have the like the macro beers like you were talking about, like the Busch and the SAB Miller beers.
Yep.
And they use comparatively very small amounts of hops to be brewed, which is why they don't really taste like much of anything. And then you have also the craft beer explosion that's going on. And what happens is, a lot of the craft beer places, like, for example, Stone out in California, are just exploding in terms of their production volume. And those beers use a proportionately much higher amount of hops to produce the same amount of beer.
Yeah.
And so they're basically locking up contracts with the available hop farms, a lot of which are in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
And so it's making things a lot. I'm an American Homebrew Association brewer, so I'm mostly a homebrew guy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's making things much more expensive and difficult to get.
Have you ever thought about growing your own hops?
I do grow my own hops.
Okay.
But the thing is, hops grow vertically, and so you have to build a trellis for them, like you would, like it with cucumbers or. So it's tough, and also when you're growing your own hops, comparatively speaking, to make enough hops to brew, large or very hop intensive beers, you would need a lot of them.
Yeah.
So it's, it can be difficult to grow your own, especially living in the city and having a limited amount.
That's a lot of work.
That is a lot of work.
I mean,
it's a lot of work, but it's a labor of love.
Yeah, that's what I would think, Steve. If you love doing it and you get that finished product and you've created it, it's got to be pretty satisfying.
But those increases in prices are due to, a lot of the craft beer explosion and the fact that, some of the bigger players in that game are locking up contracts with hop farms. So they get first crack at the best, the best.
The top hops
every year.
Steve, yeah, you ever make any beer that sucks?
Everybody at some point. I mean, I've been doing it for a lot of years, but everybody makes a stinker once in a while.
And do they know it, or do they just try to pawn it off as because I've had people give me their home beer before. Oh, dude, this is great. And I'm like, this stuff tastes like crap.
Well,
there's a little bit of that in there.
Are you talking about something that they made themselves?
Yep.
Okay, see, it's kind of like having an ugly baby. You still probably love it because you put some effort into it.
That's what I figured.
Totally.
But there are also, and I won't name any names, but I've been to a couple local places, smaller places that are getting off their feet, that because of the fact that they're a starting business and it takes a lot to brew, 5 or 10 barrels, which is what most of the smaller places are doing for their systems.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money if you screw it up. And so I have known a couple of places that will try to pass them off as, as something.
A new flavor.
Let me try some of this swill.
Hey, Steve, let me ask you, do you not know that your beer sucks until it's, quote-unquote, time to take it out of the oven?
There's a couple things that can go wrong that you'll know. If you're brewing like on a home scale, and you start to see it's called a pellicle, and it's kind of like a white filmy layer of scum that will develop on top of it.
Oh, I've seen that.
And that is usually indicative of something going wrong. That's usually some kind of bacterial infection. It's the same stuff that ruins wine that will make beer sour or ruin it.
So your beer needs to douche.
Yeah, kind of. And sometimes, believe it or not, those infections can, it's not always bad. So even if I made something that did have a problem, I would still taste it because, you know, once in a while you get a happy accident.
Okay. Hey, is Marissa right about the trend of sours this year?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sours are a big thing. And for us on the homebrew scale, it's kind of a hard thing to reproduce because you're trying to control the uncontrollable. Yeast is what ferments beer. You're fermenting sugars into alcohol and CO2.
Have you ever had to call a gynecologist in to check your beer? From a yeast infection? Yeah. Because it's all similar.
Sour beers are blowing up. They're really hard to make because you're essentially trying to purposely infect them, and the bacteria are very difficult to kind of wrangle into control. Sours are usually made in large scale and blended together to get an even product, like
right.
blended whiskey.
I'm clearly too stupid for this. There's a lot of intricate stuff involved with this.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
And even on the big volume, even on the big volume level, I saw the one time, Steve, I saw a they were showing like the head brewmaster of Budweiser, and they take all these different, as you said, they'll take these different batches,
yeah,
and they have to blend them together because a big brewer like that, they try to make their beer taste exactly the same
every
single time, so you know exactly what you're getting, no question. And they have to take all these gigantic batches, and they'll put like 3/4 of this in that one and 2/4 of this one in that one. And or that would be half, wouldn't it? 2/4.
I mean, you can say 2/4.
Yeah.
Same
so
thing.
Anyhow,
four eighths,
and they blend
16
them together.
Quarters.
Shut up.
Yeah,
shut up, Richard.
That also goes on with the sour beers and a lot of the barrel aged beers. Yeah. One other quick thing before I let you guys go. You were asking about session beer, but I was on the phone, so I didn't get to hear. Was there some kind of confusion about what session beers are?
No confusion. I mean, you know, Casey was saying they're a little less alcohol, and you can drink more of them as in a sit down. I thought
they're like 75/3.
Yeah. I thought maybe that they were a little less in the flavor department. I mean, as far as really bold flavors go.
Yeah, well, you can just because it's low alcohol doesn't necessarily mean that the flavors are mild. You can make them as bright and flavorful, or bitter, or not, or as sweet as anything else.
Right.
It's just they comparatively have a lower amount of alcohol. So
it's mainly the alcohol. Okay.
Yeah, you can have a session IPA.
They make session IPAs. Really, it's a hoppy pale ale. I mean, that's kind of an issue with nomenclature.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. You know, it has nothing to do with really. If they have a bitter session beer, a lot of times we'll call it a session IPA, but it's an oxymoron.
You got to be a chemist to drink this stuff. Yeah.
Thank you, Steve. We appreciate it, bud. Good luck with everything.
Hey, no problem. It's for Chris Wallace. Take care, guys.
All right. We'll see you later.
Hey, you know what, Fox News. You talk about being a chemist. Really, what it comes down to when you're brewing beer, if you're a home brewer, cleanliness.
It's next to godliness.
Yeah, it is.
Talking to him, I realize I'm not an expert at anything.
Shut up.
I'm not an expert about golf.
Like, no. No, I mean, because, I mean, like, you know, I like beer. But when you start splitting hairs like that, and same thing with whiskey. I love bourbon. And I got an email from a guy who was, a guy I played golf with one time. He said, yeah, I read a blog. And I went on his blog. And I'm like, oh, my God, he's breaking down this thing in a million different, you know, complexities and blah, blah. I'm just like, I just like it. Same thing with cigars. I've tried these things. And you talk to the people and they're just... They just read
well, somebody's
so
always
much
know
into
more
it.
You, and that's
no, no, no,
thing,
I know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm just saying yes, I love the game of golf and I can play it. And I know a decent amount about it, but I'm not, you know,
you're an
analyst.
You're pretty good at radio, Preston.
I'm all
there
right
you
at
go.
Radio, but
we have proof.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
That's the latest news. Let's get on to the latest rock. This cat really knows how to play guitar. Those are the best tasting little morsels I have ever had in my life.
And that was years ago. We're not being fair because then you have.
Is there some of the, just improv that you have been known, become to known as? You know what? You're really bringing me around now. I don't feel so bad. Yeah.
But listen, I think know it to the point where you enjoy it. If you get so, it's like you talk about people who just dissect, like, Star Wars and all this stuff, and it's not exactly in the comic book. Blah, 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 blah. Just enjoy it.
I know, but it's when somebody brings stuff like that up, I'm like, well, I didn't know as much about it as I thought I did.
Get out of here.
You know, I just my homework.
Those people are really they're just alcoholics, and they mask it by
like, no, I'm a beer connoisseur. I brew my own beer, so I have to drink 17 beers a day.
You mentioned the bourbon though, and actually the people doing their own bourbon and their own
Distilling?
Yeah, doing that stuff is on the rise. And there was an article,
really?
I think was it in Philadelphia Magazine?
Yeah.
Where you're having people now making those just regular liquor, I guess. You know, I'm not the drinker. But things like that, like scotch or whatever, they're doing that as well.
Well, wow. All right, so here's where I run into the problem, Preston, is when those people who know it all about whatever it is, they cast
aspersions,
their opinions on what you're enjoying.
Right? Yeah, I have had that happen.
It's like, you know, and so my cousin is a big cigar guy, aficionado. He will not look down on you if you like, what is it, the acid or
whatever. It's whatever. A bunch of different ones, yeah.
No, you like what you like,
yeah.
And that's fine. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter that I've been to the tobacco field.
Because I've had someone hand me and go, oh, this was the cigar of the year, and you've got to taste the tones in this. Bye-bye. Light up. Yeah, it tastes like a cigar to me. All right.
Try this.
Yeah, this is good.
The turkey jerky of the year.
Speaking of that, let's go to Justin. Hi, Justin. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what?
Two things. One about the jerky, one about the beer, and now that you brought up the bourbon. I started drinking the craft beer through my older brother and them. They used to do Sunday Funday every weekend, mm-hmm. and they would drink bourbon all the time.
Okay.
I couldn't stand it at the time, but I acquired the taste for it and fell in love with it. And I could that was all I could drink for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I come from the Downingtown where Victory is, you know, originated. And, you know, we really got into that craft beer scene kind of early. And I was never a big fan. I was more like you, a lighter beer for, you know, I didn't like the bitter aftertaste or anything like that.
Yes.
At this point, I don't drink as much. So I like to maybe get like a, you know, 90-minute IPA.
Okay, Justin, what's your point? What's the point?
He makes beef jerky.
Is that like... It's really all like an acquired taste. Like if you don't really like IPAs and stuff like that.
Justin, hold on, bud. I've been drinking that crap for years. I still don't have a taste for it. I want to talk about jerky.
You called about jerky,
and that's what I want to talk about.
I heard you bring up bourbon, and I had to say. But
okay.
You should never have brought up bourbon.
A friend of mine came to the beach with me and my grandparents and stuff when I was real young. And we were making...
starting when you're real young. Okay, go
How
ahead.
Young were you?
Which beach town?
Well, we were like 10 years old, maybe.
Okay, that's
and,
cool.
We were making venison jerky with my grandpa.
Aha!
And he got really into it. And, you know, after that, he got a dehydrator, started making it at home and trying to sell it in school. And now I cannot remember the name, but he is, like, getting huge, especially around the Westchester area. I mean, he's got...
Is this someone you know?
Your uncle. His uncle.
It's a
friend of mine.
Your friend's uncle.
Wow.
So anyway, what happened was he found out that his children are missing in the Westchester area, and he was making children jerky.
Wow.
And was arrested. But now he has a lucrative jerky business, correct?
Yeah. Aside from his profession, he does actually have a legitimate business.
Is it called like Renegade Jerky or something like that?
Yeah, it's something like along those lines. He actually asked me to do a logo for him, but I have not.
Well, you ought to know the name of the company if you're going to be doing their artwork.
One of my best friends.
I ordered that logo 7 months ago.
What's the name again?
Forget it.
All right, Justin. Well, thanks. I didn't know we had a jerky magnate
entrepreneur
in the Westchester area.
It's huge now.
Justin approved.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
The DuPont of jerky.
Yeah. Started in about 1986 in Ocean City, New Jersey, and now look at them. By the way, when you go to craft
when
beers,
we came to this country. We wanted to create a jerky empire. Such was the dream of my family. But then we went down to the beach, and my uncle had this thing, and he had bourbon, but I didn't like that bourbon. But I liked IPA. But then we left the beach, and then we went to Westchester, and then my uncle got a jerky maker.
What's the name of the company?
All my love.
Justin.
But people always automatically go to IPA when they talk about craft beers.
What does IPA stand for?
India Pale Ale.
Okay. I am a complete neophyte when it comes to this.
But if you go to an Iron Hill, it's not just IPAs. They have stouts. They have porters. They have pilsners. They have lagers. They have light beers. They have root beer.
What kind of beer?
Root beer.
Yeah.
So if you don't like IPAs, that's fine. There's other craft beers out there.
Here's another one.
You really going
to
do this?
Let me go to Mitch. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
How are you?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Not bad.
All right. So what's on your mind?
So you guys are talking a lot about the beer and the beer brewing.
Uh-huh.
And I would say the same thing goes for coffee. You know, a lot of people just go to, like, Dunkin' Donuts or something like that just to get their coffees. But you go to some of these small coffee shops and – it's incredible. They have little profiles on the back, and they're saying tastes like chocolate and limes and blueberries, and you taste it, and it's sort of just like, yeah.
I agree.
Tastes like coffee to me.
Yeah, you know, you're right. They get very snobby. Starbucks does that breakdown. You go into Sumatran and, you know, from the fecal matter of the capuchin monkey.
Right.
You know, the berries are ingested, and, it gets crazy, and it all sort of tastes like coffee to me.
Yeah. I mean, I love the stuff. I brew it at home. There's a style called pour over where instead of just putting it in your typical drip coffee maker, you actually hand grind the coffee and you.
So what are you talking about? You are the coffee snob.
You are a snob.
Snobby pants.
No.
Well, do you have one of those French? French press?
No, I don't have a French press.
You get stuff in your teeth when you use it.
Do you really?
Yeah.
All right, so but you sound a little snobby there, Mitch, as far as what you're doing with the coffee.
Well, that's just because, the thing is, I just like a good cup of coffee. I don't dissect it like a lot of the coffee snobs do, saying it tastes like this or that. I just like if it's a really good cup of coffee, I enjoy it. And I think the best way to do it is to, you know, buy the beans and grind them. And I don't really particularly care what the profiles on them are.
Okay, yeah, you're not dating it.
If somebody starts selling you on one, do you kind of roll your eyes and go, eh? You know.
A little bit. It's like sort of going to the bar and you ask the bartender what's the best beer, and then they start going into a lot of detail. It's like, all right, I'll just have one of them.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
And then you know it, you're talking to the nephew of a man who has a jerky empire.
Where did you even get uncle?
I just want to go with uncle. It seems very.
You know, there are people that do have very sharp palates, and they can pick out these little hints of.
Can you?
No.
How
no,
cold?
No.
Because. You are a bit of a chef. You know, when they do Hell's Kitchen, one of the main tests for the up-and-coming chefs is they have them try to identify the seasoning.
I think I'm fairly decent with food. I can, you know, I can pick when there are certain herbs, spices, and things like that are used. But and I will try to detect them. But when you talk about, like, beverages... and there, you know, there's that scene in Sideways. It's like, you know, a little asparagus, some strawberry, and a slight hint of cheese. And it's like, they're grapes.
I can do it with wine, though. I can taste the different things. I took a wine class once, and they actually tested you to see what you knew and what you tasted in it.
What were the type of things you were
picking
out?
There was some, some almost had, like a wood flavor to it.
Okay.
Which one?
Some of the
spaghetti?
No, some of the whites were specific fruits. It's like a citrus fruit.
Really? You could pick that out?
Yeah.
Well, she has a really refined palate. I mean, Kathy's nose is really strong, and her ability to taste.
It's got a slope in it.
I've seen her do...
She's got a five head.
Chin-ups with her nose.
Yeah.
I like that it scoops up now, because it just lets the scents...
Yeah.
Flow nicely into my nose.
They waft off her giant forehead.
Yeah. So it cascade down.
It's really like an olfactory avalanche.
Yeah. You know, Preston, my
started off as a compliment, by the way.
My palate is so refined, I can actually tell what color M&M I am eating.
Wait, didn't we try that one?
We did it with Starburst, and you can tell the difference.
Yeah,
totally. Starburst.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right,
but not M&M.
Yeah. I would like to. Well.
I could probably do it.
I wonder if we were to have you guys face off, if she could wine against food, if who would have the more cultivated palate.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I wonder if I can figure out what color Gatorade I'm drinking. And by the way, they don't ask you what flavor you want. They ask you what color. When you order Gatorade.
Yeah, you're right.
Who's
they? We got blue.
Who's they? Don't
wherever.
Pick it up.
At your Gatorade bar?
Gatorade bar. That's where I go. That's where I hang out.
Well, it's the trendiest thing, the Gatorade bar.
I'll back you up on this. It's usually at a golf course.
Yeah.
When the beverage cart comes up and they go, you want a Gatorade? Yeah. What color? Yeah. We got orange, blue, and red. What do you want? And one that's kind of gray.
Oh, yeah. What is that one?
Schmegma.
I don't know.
I don't like that one.
Schmegraid.
Schmegraid?
I prefer red.
We should probably
Schmegraid.
We should probably take a break.
Yeah.
It's more of a purple. It's not gray. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a lavender.
It is.
All right.
And they have a periwinkle.
We'll take a break and be back in just a moment, so stay there.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
And before we get to the dumpster pool party, let's check out the Bizarre File.
I'm going to begin with a fairly lengthy story. If you think you have a terrible boss, you might be right, but you know what? Your boss probably isn't the worst boss ever, unless, of course, your boss has pooped in your lunchbox.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I would agree with that.
What?
In January, the Grand Junction Sentinel reported on and posted a rather astounding order by an administrative law judge. The legal issue was whether, now you have to stick with me because I got to set the stage for this. The legal issue was whether a gentleman named Mr. Bailey, a former employee of Uncompahgre Valley Water Users Association, whatever that is, had been responsible for his termination. If he was, the association would have to pay disability benefits. Now, the association contended that Mr. Bailey was fired for insubordination, suggesting that he was too sensitive.
This isn't George Bailey, is it?
And was unable to forgive and forget certain conduct by his supervisor, Mr. English. Now, Mr. Bailey's position was that he did not expect to be fired and that it was unfair to fire him for complaining about what Mr. English referred to as pranks.
Oh.
But the ALJ referred to as, for example, defecating into co-workers' lunches.
So one man's prank is another man's defecating into co-workers' lunches.
Fine line.
To be fair, there does not appear to have been testimony that English defecated directly into anyone's lunch. He testified rather that he had put his own feces into a bag and put the bag into a co-worker's lunch.
He's not an animal.
He also testified he once, quote, sat on a catwalk and defecated toward a co-worker in the ditch below him.
Wow.
Okay.
That's impressive.
If you have that kind of control, you're an artist.
You may be surprised to learn that these are arguably not the worst things that this guy did.
I didn't think so.
Mr. English testified that he, quote, liked a workplace to be fun, which is why he did these pranks. And sure, it's fun to be defecated at, but some of this stuff seems questionable, like shooting people. English did not use actual firearms, at least, but he did admit that he made a potato gun out of PVC pipe and would shoot golf balls and other items out of it at work. He testified he never shot the gun toward co-workers, and he did not believe that he shot the gun toward areas where co-workers were working. But Bailey testified that he had done that, and the judge found Bailey's account more credible on everything, by the way.
All right, so he says he would poop at them but wouldn't shoot the golf balls at them.
Yes, exactly. Okay. English also conceded that he did, in fact, shoot co-workers with plastic BBs. He did not recall shooting Bailey, but again, Bailey testified otherwise. Now, there's a ways to go on this, just okay. To let you know. English apparently would also build bombs on company time from lengths of 4-inch PVC pipe that he pumped full of acetylene gas and wired to battery chargers.
What was his actual job?
He was a supervisor. It gets better.
Okay.
He would then plant the pipe bomb in an appropriate spot and detonate it when coworkers drove by.
Oh, my God.
These are IEDs.
Okay. Right. So he's pooping on, he's pooping in people's food.
He's shooting
golf balls at him, and he's placing bombs around the work site.
English testified, though, that generally his bombs were milk jugs full of acetylene.
All right.
He said he tended to hide them in ditches full of brush, knowing that coworkers and work crews would be using blow torches to clear the brush away, and this would set off the bomb. Another fun thing, it was to hide jug bombs under the hood of a company truck and wire it to the spark plugs. Once English's own supervisor learned about all this, believe it or not, he was promoted.
What?
Yes.
Wait, what are you talking about?
He testified, though, that this was only after the supervisor asked him to stop building bombs because there had been complaints.
You know how coworkers will get when you plant bombs around the job site?
And not apparently because building bombs and setting them off near coworkers might be against company policy. But Bailey testified that he complained after English was promoted and they continued to have problems. He suspected English was using his new position to mess with him in retaliation for the complaint. So he's been promoted and he's abusing that office. Ultimately, the judge found Bailey had not precipitated the employment termination by a violation act, and he would reasonably expect to result in the loss of employment. He was just fired, and he will now get the disability benefits he claimed. And as far as I've read this story, that Mr. English, the guy that was pooping on people and shooting people and setting up bombs, nothing happened to him.
Still working there.
As far as I know.
Still in a supervisory capacity.
Never heard of anything like that before. And it's from the Grand Junction Sentinel, and it was about this company called the Uncompahgre Valley Water Users Association, which maintains the area's irrigation network.
All right, all I know is I need to step up my game, guys.
Yeah.
Prank-wise.
Dude.
You got Mr. English to live up to.
I tell you what, I'll bring my lunchbox tomorrow.
You'll have to, Casey.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me think about it. You bring your lunchbox.
Pooping it. We'll get it started. All right. Yeah.
That alone could be just the bizarre file.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
But I got in a couple more stories to go by. All right. A job interview was in progress when a thief grabbed cash from the register at a fast food restaurant. The manager conducting the interview then blocked the door, and the applicant grabbed the thief's arms. 18-year-old Devin Washington got the robber while he was there applying for a job. He doesn't even work there. It was at the Popeyes Famous Fried Chicken restaurant in eastern New Orleans. Manager Diana Meteor said that the robber asked the cashier to change a dollar and then reached over the counter and stuck his hand in the change drawer. Police said the assistant manager, Dominique Griffin, grabbed the man's arm, but he broke away from her and headed for the door. But Meteor was there to block him. She said, "My upper body strength was stronger than his. We hadn't made hardly any money. He wasn't going to take $300 or $400 that we probably made. I got up and Washington, the guy who was applying for a position, said, I got up, I bent his arm back. He didn't know whether the man had a gun, but he wasn't scared. Washington held the thief until police arrived.
So tell me this guy got the job.
He was actually, yes, he was hired.
Okay.
Meteor said that she and Griffin, the other manager, had already decided to hire Washington but hadn't had a chance to tell him. When the theft occurred, she said, they told him afterward, you're hired, you earned it. So he got the job.
I'd make that part of the interview process.
Yeah.
Stage a robbery and see how they react. Yeah.
All right, and then we have time for just one more, but I love this story. This is out of the UK. The name of a new polar research vessel, it's a big ship.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Will be chosen by a panel of experts, even if the public overwhelmingly votes to call it Bodie McBoatface.
Yes. Please.
That is the popular name.
It is. Now, Lord West, the ex-First Sea Lord, said that he was rather proud that silly names had been suggested, but he hoped none were chosen. The Natural Environment Research Council had urged people to name its ship in a competition, which saw Bodie McBoatface easily topping the poll.
Yeah.
The final name will be selected by the NERC according to competition rules. Now, Bodie McBoatface is currently leading with more than 27,000 votes, while the second place pick only has 3,000, and I don't know what that name is.
You've got to go with Bodie McBoatface.
The names Pingu, Usain Boat, and It's Bloody Cold Here have also been put forward. But Lord West told BBC Radio 4's Today program, it's a typical thing of the Brits going mad, normally silly season rather than this time of year. He said that the NERC had only expected marine research fans to get involved. So Leading that is Bodie McBoatface.
Talk about a ship that already had a promotional aspect to it.
Absolutely.
You know, you get the message out through Bodie McBoatface.
And that is what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. You stay right there. Hey, gang, it's safe to say we've never seen anything quite like 2020.
Challenging, uncertain, unprecedented. Go ahead, pick an adjective, any adjective. We'll wait. We've been through a lot, probably with more to come, but we've stuck together like Philly always does.
It's pretty easy to feel helpless, but there are a few things we can do.
Like social distancing, avoiding large crowds, and wearing a mask when you're out in public.
It might seem like a pain, but it's nothing compared to what some people are dealing with. So let's do the things we can do while we have to, and we'll get this great city and great country back to normal.
A message from your friends at 93.3 WMMR. Putting Philly first.
Right now, I want to talk about this story that I saw it happen while we were gone. Actually, Steve sent me this article, and it was about something, a phenomenon that I was not really that really familiar with, but dumpster pools.
I thought this was ingenious.
Me too.
Yeah.
Right?
I've heard of, you know, like trucks and filling the bed with water. And
we've
driving
done
around
truck
with that,
pools.
Which is very dangerous, but, well, I mean, it really weights down. It's bad for your truck.
You're going to screw up the truck, and there's only so much. When I saw this, and you're going to explain the story a little bit more, I just thought, God, I've missed years.
Great idea.
Doing this. Yes.
Right. We actually did truck pools in when we were in Avalon, because the house my friends rented was all the way back to the bay. Nobody really wanted to walk to the beach. There was too much drinking to do at the house. So,
I'm sure your Avalon neighbors loved that.
Yeah, so they made it. Oh, dude, they did. Whatever. I mean, midget bowling and all sorts of stuff at this house. But
bringing the Delco to Avalon.
I'm just trying to think if it was Delco people. Yes, it was. But they would stabilize the truck. They would put, like supports underneath
sure.
the truck. And we didn't drive around with it. You know, the truck stayed in the driveway. They lined the truck with it.
Right. Well, so I know you have the story, but my question is, because I've never heard of this before. Is this a thing, or was this just one incident?
Well, it's a good question. It was for a block party that was going on. And I've got the full story here. Steve sent me this, and I don't know what the source is. This is the two-way, I think, is where this
actually
from.
Preston made USA Today. It was on NPR, and some were critical that Philadelphia would be the city that embraced dumpster pools.
Right, right.
I thought it as a sign of innovation, and it just shows you how ingenious our population is.
Well, by the way, they don't just go up, you know, and find some random empty dumpster and start filling it up with water and then invite the neighborhood kids to come and jump in. That's not what this is. These people had rented this thing. they had lined it, and then they filled it. They lined it up with, tarps and so forth, and then they filled it up with water. So anyhow, this Karen Gus, who is communications director for the Department of Licenses and Inspection, said in this interview, in view of the city's commitment to public health, safety, and basic common sense, we will not issue permits for block party dumpster pools.
I mean, it just...
And while you would think this decision would not require an explanation, 3 days of press requests have proven otherwise. So here's why you shouldn't swim in a receptacle most often used for waste. And I'll give you this information if you want, Kathy. It says here, first and foremost, this could reduce the amount of water available should a fire break out in that neighborhood, because these people had used
the fire hydrant.
Illegally, they had cracked open a fire hydrant.
That's the first thing I thought.
And
of.
That is right. Clear. Yes, we understand that.
But what about a garden hose?
What about a garden hose?
Oh, if you wanted the pool
take
in
few hours
30
fill,
days.
It'd take a few hours to fill it up.
Well, it's a block party. Everybody,
a couple of hoses.
Right, yeah, it's a block party, so everybody get a hose, and I think that should work, right?
It says here, so if you would like to have water available, should a fire break out in your home, don't illegally tap a hydrant.
I was never a fan of tapping a hydrant anyway for, you know, the sprinkler things that they would do and all that stuff. So I get that.
It also says that there's also the potential loss of life by injury due to the hydrant water pushing a small child or even an adult into oncoming traffic. Once again, it's a fire hydrant thing.
Got it.
Finally, remember that the pressure of the water coming out of the hydrant is so strong and so powerful that if opened too quickly or closed too quickly, it could deliver a jolt to the main of sufficient force that could break the main, and many blocks could lose water service until it is repaired. Yeah, I just think, why not just run a hose? I mean, I have a hot tub. It doesn't take all that long to fill up.
Privilege.
A few hours of privilege. Not everybody can have a hot tub.
Not everyone can have a hot tub in their backyard.
But,
Yeah, I don't see what the big deal. Yeah, if you don't go into tapping into the main and using a fire hydrant, I don't see what's wrong with it.
Oh, there's an issue here. There's an issue here. Naysayer. I knew you'd be out on this.
It was clean and lined. It was rented.
Absolutely. I'm hearing fire hydrant issues. Yes. I'm not hearing dumpster pool issues except for Kathy.
Except for me.
Right.
I think because this is lined, these people are clearly having a good time. Now, what would be the difference if you just brought that dumpster in to use it for its dumpster purposes? It would still occupy the same space that it would be used for getting rid of garbage. So...
Well,
by
the way,
is the difference?
It was used. They had to power wash it to clean it.
Well, they powered it.
And then they put the liner in.
See, yeah. they took precautions.
Here it goes on to say, the streets department will not issue any future block party permits to the 2400 block of Cedar, and officials have contacted the dumpster rental company regarding its failures to obtain the proper closure permits and take mandatory measures to protect the street during placement of the dumpster.
Come on.
I think there's a lot being lost here. I think that to me, especially on super hot days, you look at the smiles on their faces. It's just it's heartwarming. Look at the picture in here.
Look at this.
That looks fun.
Everybody's having a good time.
I did a little checking up on this, Preston.
Yeah.
To see how the history plays out in this.
What'd you find?
Well, from the oldest of times, people swam in dumpsters for a number of reasons. They swam in prayer.
Oh.
So that their crops would be plentiful, so that their hunt would be good. And they swam to stay physically fit and show their community spirit. And they swam in dumpsters to celebrate.
I know what you're doing.
And that's the kind of swimming we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
For aren't we told in Psalm 149,
oh, dear, are you serious?
The revised edition, praise ye the Lord. Swim unto the Lord in a brand new dumpster. Let them praise his name while bathing and swimming in that dumpster.
Dash.
It was King David who we read about in Samuel. And what did King David do? What did King David do? He swam.
He swam.
He swam in a dumpster before the Lord with all his might, swimming and bathing and cannonballing before the Lord. And bathing in a dumpster before the Lord.
Cannonballing.
That's my point.
Yeah.
That's my takeaway on this.
That was from Footloose, wasn't it?
Maybe.
You know what? Honestly, Steve, if you think about it, the parallel to that movie, to Footloose.
Yes.
This makes a lot of sense. So this is out of Philadelphia that they're saying you can't do this in Philadelphia anymore?
Yes.
If you look out our window right here, the road out there is called City Line Avenue.
Yeah.
And the reason it is called City Line Avenue is because it's on the city. You cross the street from Philadelphia, and you're in Bala Cynwyd. You are officially out of the city of Philadelphia. And much like the kids in Footloose, they had to have their dance party on the outskirts of town.
Like a grain depot.
Right across the railroad tracks on the other side, where it was legal to dance if they wanted to.
Oh, my God.
We could have a dumpster pool party right here at WMMR.
How long have we wanted to do something like that?
Like at least
five at minutes. Least 5-10 minutes,
yes. Something like that.
And wow, could we pull it together? Could we do this? There are ramifications. There are things to consider.
There are.
All right. What do we need?
We need dumpster. A dumpster.
Okay.
Water.
Water. We need something to line the dumpster with.
Okay.
And then we need water.
If only we had thought of this a few days ago.
Right. We could have had it together by
and
today.
Could have already had it together. Because clearly, if out of the blue we did seemingly have it together,
right,
it would have shown that we thought about this well in advance. But that's impossible. No, we just talked about it right now.
Hang on a second. Give me a couple of minutes. Let me make a phone call.
You're going to make some calls? I'm
make
All right, Casey's All right. stepping away.
Casey's going to step out. Well, don't tear your headphones up. All right, so he's walking out.
Did he just yank his head off?
He was about to snap him in the door. But anyhow, Steve.
Oh, my God.
And if only we had some beautiful women who could be in that dumpster pool as well.
Oh, can that even, is that just crazy talk?
That might
Are
be,
we talking crazy?
That yes! might be just crazy talk. Casey.
Hey, I just got off the phone.
Yeah?
We got a dumpster.
Oh, my God.
Yes, yes.
When can we have it delivered?
You know what? They were listening. They're on their way right now. J.P. Mascaro and Sons is dropping off a brand new dumpster that's never been used before,
oh,
guys.
Oh, my God. Wait. Water.
I know. I just got off the phone with those guys, too. And we got a tanker full of water. We're not going to use fire hydrant water because we don't want to ruffle any feathers.
No. We're not using fire. We're using, and just, they were driving along with the big tanker full of water?
Yeah. So these guys from Pensauken, New Jersey, just so happen to be in Bala Cynwyd.
Oh, my God.
And so they're called A Clear Alternative Water. aclear.com. They specialize in water delivery and water purification in the Tri-State area.
You got all that.
Tri-State area for over 25 years,
wow.
Nick. Yeah.
Wow, sounds like, wow, they gave you a lot of information.
Now, if acceptable, I want to mention this as well, because I think they're going to give us this water for gratis.
Okay.
But I want to mention that the water's been donated by Five Points Car Wash Detail and Lube. That's located in Sewell, New Jersey.
Oh, my. You just got this from them?
And this phone call.
And so I wrote the website down for that car wash. So I hope my chicken scratch is okay. It says fivepointscarwash.net. If you mention 93.3, Monday or Tuesday, you receive a basic car wash.
Okay. Wow.
So that just happened. I just got
just out of the blue.
Just out of the blue.
You were talking, my phone rang, and Nicolette and Jasmine, two hot girls, they're on their way over in their bikinis.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Wow. This is amazing.
Wait. Oh, and right. Kathy, while you were saying that, I just got off the phone with Aqua Vita Pool Supply.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
And I got a 50 by 30 foot pool liner.
Oh, cool.
So we're able to line this dumpster. And it just so happened that they were in the area as well. They were in Lower Marion Township. So we're going to have a pool liner here any minute. So.
Oh, my
and
God.
I just remembered in my car, I have a whole bunch of floats and pool noodles and things like that from my house.
Why would you be driving around with that?
I was gonna take them and drop them off at a friend's, but we can use them today. We're really doing it, aren't we?
Coming again. We're really doing it.
I just so happened to brace. I got two pairs of Speedo bathing suits with me.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Well, Monday, the first, is this the first? No, this will be the second Monday of every August. I drive my bathing suit around.
Wow.
And today's that day.
Wow.
That's
cool. Wow.
This is really coming together last minute, guys.
I'm really surprised.
These are the things. They say, like, when a great song's written, it's just written in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like a game of Tetris that's perfect.
Are we really having a dumpster pool party here?
I think we're going to have
a full dumpster. Now, the thing is, obviously, we're going to have to wait and see because there's one block in the way to the pool party, and that would be our man about town, our own program director, Mr. Bill West.
Ooh, that's true. We may want to...
we're going to have to see about
find out what
that.
He has to say about that. Okay, well, it sounds like things might piece together, and this actually may happen this morning, but we sort of need a bit of a blessing from Man About Town.
I think so, just to get clearance.
Our spiritual guide here at WMMR. So, by the way, this music is from Footloose.
I know.
What is this?
This is when they're he's teaching them to dance.
Oh, the montage.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Oh my God. All right. Well, Bill isn't here yet, so I tell you what, we'll hang out and we'll see. We'll follow through and see if we can make that happen.
It seems like we have all that stuff together, and I think he has to appreciate that we pulled together a dumpster, water, a liner, girls for the dumpster, stuff to put in the pool, all within 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll see if this can come together. We'll let you know. And maybe we could even broadcast live from down there. If we can find
you know what,
did you just get a text from Rodney?
I just got a text from Rodney. He is down there setting up a broadcast
right now.
Yeah. So quick.
And you know what? We couldn't have done this without Chuck D'Amico. He is our secret weapon.
Right.
So Chuck D'Amico, our assistant program director here.
You just got a text from him as well.
I did. He not only saved his dog's life last night, who ate an entire chocolate cake, but was able to get here this morning. And he's out there, and he's like the foreman.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I can't believe it.
It's crazy.
What you just heard was incredible. I mean, when has this ever happened, that all of this came together so quickly? Just one block.
Though. All right. The guy who we were talking about that threw the dumpster party is actually on the phone line.
Okay. There we go.
It's Justin. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, brother. How you doing, man?
I'm exhausted.
I'll bet. So you're the guy who was behind this whole thing?
Yeah, man.
Nice idea. Where'd you get the idea from?
You know, every year we throw this block party. We try to make it just better and better. And last year we turned the truck into the pool. So yep. This year we're like, you know, let's just make it a little bit bigger.
And that was, to me, I think that's ingenious. Now, the big issue, obviously, the city had was with just the fire hydrant. But otherwise, sure. do you get the feeling that were you able to put the water in another way without tapping into the fire hydrant, say like hoses or whatever, that you would have gotten clearance? Was that the big stumbling block?
Yeah, I think so. But, like, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, because we were seeing pictures. And, by the way, you're on NPR and there was national news about it. And, of course, you know.
Forbes did something.
Forbes! And they're treating this as like it's a blight on Philadelphia. And I'm looking at it and I'm saying, this is ingenious.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
I tell you what, everybody who was there that day had the best time.
There you go.
Well, you guys want to come by here this morning?
I think you should be
kind of like, are you guys really doing this?
We're really doing this, but I don't think we can invite people by, Nick. That's the case. So.
Not even like the creator of this thing?
Nope.
All right.
Unfortunately.
Well,
all right.
Oh, man.
We'll get your number.
Yeah, maybe you can come by.
Yeah, we'll see.
You
we
should
can
ceremoniously
do.
Should be here probably.
I think so. I think we can. We'll look for some wiggle room.
I was telling all my friends that if Always Sunny was going to do it, I should be on set at least.
Totally.
Exactly, yes.
Totally. Yeah. Hey, did you get in any legal trouble for that?
No, we didn't get into trouble. I kind of thought me and Karen, the lady that said we're not screwing around, we spoke, and we're pretty cordial about it, you know, but she definitely had this issue a statement, and we fully respect that statement, you know, and we don't want to ruffle any feathers, but we also kind of play that rule where it's like, beg for forgiveness and ask for permission.
Yep. Yeah. I know what you mean. So with this edict being set forth, what are your plans for next year? Are you kind of keeping that tight-lipped? I'm sure you guys are already kicking around ideas.
Sort of. I run a mummer club. We're the lobster club. It's like so what we're trying to do is get a 40-foot dumpster for our mummer float.
Okay.
And just party on that thing down Broad Street.
Fill that up with water?
Blue balloons. Something like that.
All right. Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay.
It's hard to top this, especially because, you know, people were able to run with it and, again, point the finger at Philadelphia and act like we're troglodytes. I, however, think it's a shining moment for the city. And I think that you conducted yourself. It was clear that your heart was in the right place. By the way, everyone there was having a good time within walking distance. It seemed to be that just from the general area.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like you know, they had to break out the rubber bullets. The crowd was handling the thing fine.
I'll tell you what, Justin. I think you got to give yourself credit for thinking this before the guys from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia thought of it.
Nice.
We wanted to get Mike Jarrett here next year, maybe, you know?
Yeah, no, it's quite possible.
And do a live shot from there. Yeah. That's a great idea, man. Well, hang on a second. We're going to get your information, Justin. You definitely have to come by here, okay?
All right, you guys. Have a good day.
All right, thanks, man. You too. We'll we got to have him by.
Yeah,
I just think before we start saying, hey, everybody, we're having a pool party. Come on out. We should find out whether or not we can do that.
We have to see a man about town.
I'm so glad. For some reason, last night when I was getting ready, for the show today, I was like, you know what? Let me put a ladder in my car for some reason, you know. And lo and behold, we need a ladder today.
Sometimes you need to get up to a point that's higher than you're able to jump.
Mm-hmm. So, but something, I think God spoke to me maybe
just
last
sometimes.
Night. And
sometimes
said, bring a ladder, son. And I said, okay, God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think a lot of that maybe is my inspirational Bible passages.
Probably.
If this comes together, will you get in the pool? You are a swimmer.
I am a swimmer. You know what?
Have you been watching the Rio? Did you see Phelps?
I did. I'll tell you what, the Xfinity coverage of this is amazing because if you missed an event, you can watch all of the stuff that you've missed just, you know, with the Xfinity app that's in the TV.
You can almost smell the Zika.
Right, you can. But I missed her name, Katie Ledecky or whatever her name is.
Yeah, she set a world record, right?
Yeah, I missed it, but I can watch it with the Xfinity app. But okay. I watched Michael Phelps. I watched him and the other guys win the relays.
Wait, the one that broke the record, she was She was young, right? Did you
She's
say?
She's 19.
Oh, 19.
So
she
broke her own record.
Broke her own record. She was 15.
Who's the 16-year-old that won something?
Well, are you talking... the 16-year-old that won something?
Well, she was in the in the Olympics last year or 4 years ago as a 15-year-old, and now she's 19.
Oh, I thought there was a 16-year-old that broke a record, but maybe it's her.
I know this is going to sound mean, but
tonight a 16-year-old that broke a record.
This is going to sound mean, but what?
She kind of looks like Gru from Despicable Me.
She does look a little like Gru. You're right.
Why would that be insulting for a young lady to learn that she looks like Gru from Despicable Me?
For a young 19-year-old. Ah. Yeah. Are you
By the
saying
way,
she has kind of a pointy nose?
It's just kind of like everything.
She's anticipating Elsa from Frozen. Oh, you look like Gru.
She's really sweet, though.
Dude.
But Phelps, 19. Yeah. All right, the most gold medals of anyone.
Right. Yeah.
And how far out ahead of second place gold medal winner is he? So,
what do you mean?
So is 19 out by a vast sum, or is the second place 18 gold medal?
Oh, I'm not really sure. Okay. Yeah, by how much he is.
It's not 18 because he still had it. He still had the record at 18, and they said he just added another one to it.
I got to tell you what, and I know, Kathy, do you watch a lot of the Olympics?
I do. I love it.
See, because I watched the last go-round a lot more. They're saying that viewership is down by like 30-35% for this because also a lot of people heard in advance of the Olympics the fact that a lot of athletes were not going to go because of health scares and health concerns. And then there's other issues, apparently, like with the hotels, and that you had Hope Solo. She had her.
Yeah.
She was tweeting out and pictures of all of her mosquito netting and all this stuff.
And did you see what the cyclists were saying about their route? Like, they said it was they can't believe somebody actually approved it. It's so dangerous.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, did you see it? It's a gravel road. They were literally riding on a gravel road that was fenced off of an actual paved road.
Hey, well, they're Olympians, you know, man. They're the elite athletes of the world. You got to come on, show, adapt, and overcome.
Dance, monkey,
how good are you?
But the gravel road was causing, like, all the bumpiness of the gravel road was causing their water bottles to fall out of their bikes, and then causing other cyclists to fall.
Right.
It wasn't just that. They were saying that the turns are really sharp. Mm. And
I love that, though.
There was just a bunch of different things, and they were saying, and I couldn't believe, I saw the track, and I'm like, wow, it looks beautiful. Like, at least they have something, you know, nice scenery to look at while they're riding, and then next thing they had somebody on complaining about how terrible it was.
I found it a little bit weird when they do cut-ins. Like, I saw Ryan Seacrest from like Copacabana Beach. There's like nobody there. I think they were expecting there to be like parties all over the place.
Well, what they've done though is they've put the kibosh on a lot of that stuff. Yeah, we're watching a cyclist take a big spill. There was apparently a big crash, which I missed. But the conditions, especially back at the Olympic Village, where they're, you know, supposed to get their energy back and take a nap and take their meals and so on and so forth, apparently disgusting and really subpar. So we'll see.
I was watching some of the gymnastics last night. Does any of it air live, or is it all tape delayed?
Because they were airing some stuff live. Yeah, I don't know if that stuff was live.
Because what's the time difference?
I don't know. It's not much, if it's anything. Yeah. I think Brazil, parts of Brazil are actually ahead of us time-wise. But like they do in every Olympics, they focus on particular athletes for a little bit.
Give you the backstories
and whatever. Yeah, so they have to have that edited and ready to go, and then they'll focus on that person. I just don't know how much of a delay there is.
The girls' gymnastics team, they were doing great last night.
Yeah,
they
were saying they're going to be hard to beat.
Yeah.
That Simone chick is, like, unbeatable.
A question with the 16-year-old who took the first gold medal and they say it's air rifle.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So this is compressed. They're not obviously using.
Yeah.
Okay. And I didn't realize, how long has that been?
Don't know.
Okay. When did they convert? Yeah.
There's some that until an American actually wins one, you're like, oh, there's an event for that. Yeah. I had no idea.
Oh, some stinking country on this. I don't care.
Yeah.
There was some.
Honduras one. I don't care.
There's a gymnastics competition participant who was in the 1992 Olympics. She's, I think, 42. And she's from Uzbekistan. She was on the unified team for Russia after Russia fell apart, the Soviet Union fell apart in the early 90s.
Right.
She was on that unified team in 1992, and she was participating again last night.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't medal or anything like that, but she's participating.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, at an age like that.
Hey, when is the dumpster pool swim in the Olympics? Is there a...
You raise a good point.
That will be later in the week.
Okay.
Because they've already started the swimming, so the dumpster pool swim will take place later in the week.
And apparently the water is so tainted in all the pools that everyone wants to compete in the dumpster swim because they're going to feel completely acclimated.
Case, I know you didn't make the team, but you could maybe show your skills today. And even if it's not official, you have the opportunity to break a world record.
Well, why wouldn't it be not official? I mean,
maybe that's a selling point for when we try to convince Bill Weston to allow this to happen.
The dumpster pool.
We could potentially allow you the opportunity to meddle in dumpster pool.
Hey, listen, I'll tell you what. Even if I just hold the world record for 5 minutes, I've held the world record.
You got there, man. Yep. It's your Rudy story.
Hey, I just got word that I can't believe how fast this is coming together, that they're already starting to fill up the dumpster in our parking lot as we speak. They arrived. J.P. Mascaro got here.
Yep.
And who else? Our water suppliers did.
Yes. So our water suppliers, just these great people from Pensauken and New Jersey.
Just happened to be driving around.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Because the water gets solid if you don't drive it around now and then.
Right.
Yeah, it's a clear alternative water. Specializing in water delivery and water purification in tri-state area for 25 years. That's amazing.
Is it a clear or a clear?
A clear alternative water.
I like that.
A clear.
Clear.
Don't be a clear.
Hey, we'll put all this information.
They drove us scared, right?
And by
out
the way,
of the industry.
Five Points Car Wash. They have donated the water, and they're in Sewell, New Jersey. And if you mention, this is really cool. Today and tomorrow, if you mention WMMR, you get a free car wash. So you get a free basic car wash.
Not only
today,
pulled together in just a matter of minutes, we're giving something that's a benefit to the listeners of the Preston and Steve Show.
FivePointsCarWash.net, by the way, for more information. Wow, I can't believe it.
I'm blown away.
It's
now I know how they felt when they did Hands Across America.
I know, really?
Yeah.
Like, unified, everyone's coming together. It's amazing. Okay, well, here's what we need to do. We need to take a quick break, and we need to go see all this stuff is coming together. And then all this without approval from Bill Weston yet.
It's all hinged on that.
Wow. Okay, well, we'll come back. And two beautiful ladies just showed up here in our studio, too, who are going to be swimming in our dumpster pool if we get approval from Bill Weston in a little while. Kathy, who showed up? Who do we have?
Jasmine and...
Nicolette,
that's right.
Jasmine and Nicolette. Hey, guys. Hey. They just showed up. All right, we'll be back in just a moment. Stay right there.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Nick Perry and the Underground Thieves. I'm feeling good, I'm feeling good. Celebrating our area's best talent, bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com, keyword Local Shots. Nick Perry and the Underground Thieves. Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I got to make sure, tap that microphone, just see if it works. It works. Yeah, okay, so we're having an issue with that. Man About Town, Bill Weston, is actually in our studio. Earlier this morning, we were reading a story about a group of people who, and in fact, a listener had called in, Justin, who it was his idea, decided to have a block party, and they rented out a dumpster and lined it with, like a tarp and filled it up with water, and they had a pool party out on the street, a dumpster pool party. Looked like it was a blast. It went viral. It was all over the place, and the city has said, no, you can't do that. It's not allowed anymore. It's illegal.
Then you... You take a look out the window, Preston, earlier, and you notice City Line Avenue out there.
And that is the actual city line of Philadelphia. It's the actual boundary between Philadelphia and the outskirts. And we happen to be on the outskirts side of it. So just like the movie Footloose, why not go cross the train tracks so you can have your dance there?
They had their dance. We're having our dumpster pool.
Yeah, so we have the dumpster. We've got the water. And thank you to everybody involved in that. A-Clear Alternative Water, Five Points Car Wash, and J.P. Mascaro and Sons, who just happened to be listening and brought all that stuff by.
Stunning that all the component parts of a dumpster pool party happened to be out on the road just randomly driving around today.
But missing all morning long, Bill Weston, Man About Town, who happens to be here now, so... Dad, can we go swimming?
I can't believe this on your first day back from vacation. You have managed to
put this thing together, and I don't know. What a nice start to your first week
to the
back.
Week, to the day back, yeah.
You know?
So well, we're just curious if we can do it or not, if you had concerns. And, you know, we don't want to do anything without consulting you first. It's just not how we operate.
Except completely set it up.
Yeah, exactly.
So I've been listening to the conversation all morning, noticing how you're kind of putting this on my shoulders. But obviously we have a responsibility to our building management, to our owners, to all that kind of stuff. But I've heard the points that you guys have made, and I find myself running out of answers. As a program director and your spiritual guide, your moral compass, it's my job to help guide you to make the right decisions, protect you from appearing, shall we say, privileged. But at a certain point, if I don't trust you, how can I expect you to become trustworthy? So it's come to my attention that you have secured a dumpster, a large water truck, a tarp, a stepladder, pool floaties, all for the purpose of bathing and swimming. So I'm asking all of the higher-ups throughout our radio cluster to pray that the Lord will guide you in your endeavors.
That's an approval.
You know,
yes!
I don't know if anyone caught it, but Bill sounded just exactly like John Lithgow in Footloose.
Oh my! Weird. That's amazing that it's all
just by happenstance. Wow!
Paralleling this,
we clearly have just a limited amount of Footloose songs.
Wow! I know this is the only one we have. So anyhow, so Bill gives us the thumbs up. We can do it. We can have our pool party, our thumbs up pool party.
The Preston and Steve Show.
Yes.
And I guess you already have a couple of Preston and Steve girls out there.
Yes. Yes, we do.
You guys are amazing planners.
Thank you.
Well, be careful out there. Obviously, we don't want you to get any, you know, waterborne viruses. Kathy, will you be testing the water?
I can test the water.
Are you and Connie going to be hanging out in the woods watching just to make sure that we're safe? A la John Lithgow and Diane Wiest.
Here's what we need to do. So we've gotten approval, and it's official, and our people are in place. And I think a lot of our interns are going to get in the pool.
They are up for this.
And we
except
have,
for Andre.
We have Jasmine and is it Nicolette, I believe, our Preston and Steve girls are going to be joining them as well. And I see one person who might be ready to get in the water.
I am, but I have to restart the Zeta system
first.
That's
okay. You can do that. I'm looking at Casey to my right here. He's wearing he's wearing goggles, and he has a, what do you call it, swim cap on?
A USA skim cap, right?
Yeah.
I'm ready for the dumpster pool Olympics.
A star-spangled swim cap on, ready to go. And we are now looking at a live shot of the dumpster pool. It's huge.
It is huge.
It's 6 feet deep and 22 feet wide.
And now, our white trash deck has arrived.
By the way, and the, yes, and thank you to Steve Wilson from K&S Towing for the flatbed truck. And the one thing, please be careful with Sunshine, which is the inflatable penguin. It's my daughter's. And
should we
don't pop Sunshine?
Do we want to take Sunshine out just because it's your daughter?
It's okay. Just okay. I told her, I said I'll do my best to protect Sunshine today. So
if you bring Sunshine home dead, though, you're just in for it.
That's okay. But we have a number of water noodles and pool floaties. And
it's beautiful.
Like that.
Look at the way the water's reflecting the clouds above.
It's gorgeous.
The news van arrived.
Are you serious?
Look in the background.
Well, then let's.
Yeah, that's Fox 49.
Should we get our bathers in? Everyone's ready?
Yeah.
Come on, let's do it. There.
Casey's going to have to start up. What's the matter?
I don't know.
All right, go.
He started
he's so doing excited a curly for the shuffle.
He was like John Belushi in Animal House.
Casey. I don't know. I'm just so excited.
Get those bathers in the pool.
All right, well, not until Casey gets down there.
Oh, all right.
Let's let him get down there. He's going to do the official kickoff. So he's got to go now. He's got to get in the elevator. Go down six floors. No, we're on the fourth floor.
He's going down to the mail room.
There's six floors in the building.
Right.
And then he's
he's gonna ride up two and come down.
He's gonna run all the way to the back. But we're looking at a picture of this right now, a live video shot, and it is so much bigger than I thought it was gonna be.
It's crazy.
It's 22 feet long. Casey can easily do laps in this, Kathy. And he can do a flip turn.
He could probably do a flip turn.
Because it's 6 feet deep.
Yeah. By the way, so there's a full, about 6 feet. The tarp is totally filling in the entire pool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the guys who did it in the city had maybe half this size?
Oh, yeah. It was, yeah, probably half this length and definitely
sure. Justin's only dumpster.
Probably about 4.5 feet tall because they were all hanging out of it.
Yeah.
This is 6 feet deep. So
this is real.
And Casey said he's wearing a Speedo.
Oh, wow. Perfect. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think he wore that when we were at Hershey Park broadcasting now, live. So it may be the same same suit.
Preston, we did get an update on the water temperature, which apparently is 80 degrees.
80 degrees. That's not bad. In swimming pool parlance, if you were to just fall into a pool and go, oh, man, it's like bath water, that's around 90 degrees. And once you get into the low 80s, it starts getting a little bit.
It's a little chilly.
It's nipple hardening, definitely. So it's a little bit on the chilly
side. That's
good news.
We have two Preston and Steve girls.
Yeah, we do. So and I think, like I said, some of our interns just happen to have their bathing suits in their car.
What are the odds?
Ready
you
to
know
go.
Kids, right?
Yeah, you know.
The young folk drive around with their bathing suits.
But it's a beautiful day today. It's
Bill, now that you've given the tacit approval of this whole thing, you're going to go in for a dip?
No. I'm a little concerned. Look, I have to be your liaison with the building management.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about how are you going to empty that thing? It's like there's going to be a tidal wave of water.
I don't know. Rodney's out there.
Yeah. Oh, Rodney will figure it out. He's a fireman.
Like it'll wash away that small SUV from Fox 29.
I would imagine there's a plug in this in the bottom of this thing, and they'll be able to let it out. So,
Marissa's taking care of this.
Well, I think conveniently, a fire department is listening right now, and they're going to come over and help us pump it out.
Oh, really? Pump it. They can use that water for should there be a fire later on today.
Are you saying that we're basically heroes because we're saving lives?
Steve, it's possible.
This whole thing is now a public service.
Yes.
Would you guys jump in, or would you do the ladder in?
I think I might jump in, but I mean, the flatbed is a little far from the edge of it. I think safety dictates you go in through the ladder.
It's a couple of feet, but I mean,
you don't want to end up all, bouncing off the bottom and stuff like that.
The rule I've read, and this you need to share this with your sons, is there are many ways to enter a pool, and the stairs is not one of them.
Okay.
All right. So, but that's just my own rule. All right. So we ought to be seeing Casey any moment now on this video
there
as we're
he is.
Watching it live. Do you see him?
Yeah. He's running over.
He's walking up, and his son is with him, too.
Okay.
You think Seamus is going to get in there?
Maybe.
We'll have to see. All right. So let me grab, we should have live broadcast capabilities, and I'm turning this up, but I don't hear anything.
That's always a good sign.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Hey! Casey, live on location. How you doing, man?
Oh, man, I'm so great. I'll tell you what, it's a little warm out here, and I walk really far from the building. I could really use a dip in the pool, you know what I'm saying?
Man. Well, does it look as impressive down there as it does on our screens here?
Well, you know what? Let me hop here up on the flatbed.
Just hop right up.
This ladder that I just so happened to bring today. Oh, my gosh. I'm a little nervous on this ladder. Here we go.
Is it a little rickety?
Oh, wow. This looks amazing, guys.
Yeah?
Yes. All right. So,
are you on the ladder? Oh, you're up on the. Oh, I see. You're up on
the flatbed.
You know what? It's a lot closer. Look, Steve.
Yeah.
You're right, Preston. I'm gonna go. If I go in, I go in that way.
Is the flatbed lower than the dumpster?
It is. It's
Oh, okay.
It probably comes up about maybe halfway of the dumpster or so.
Okay.
And all right. So it actually provides a really great observation deck. So are you guys gonna come down?
Yeah. Well, we want you to do the official. We got to get people in our dumpster pool.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Get everyone up.
All right, so Fox 29 is asking me to wait to go in the pool. When are you guys going live?
Of course they are.
TV time, right?
Hey, guys, are we on Fox 29 time or are we on our time?
Well, I think we're on our time. But, I mean, what? They want to get it live as you first jump in? I think they can get a shot of you while you're already in the pool. I think it'll be fine.
Okay. Yeah, well, I think you can do that.
How long till they go on live?
90 seconds.
Yeah, oh. I think we can do that.
A minute and a half.
Well, why don't we get in the minute and a half? Get the rest of the crew up there, the girls and all that.
She's right, Casey.
Come on.
Why don't you grab it? Tell everybody to come up onto the flatbed.
Some of those girls have robes on too, Casey. They can take the robes off and unveil the bikinis.
Right. Now, should I disrobe on the air, or should I already be on?
I think you should wait until
okay.
The cameras are ready to roll before you disrobe.
Okay.
All right. So, can you tell everybody to come over?
All right, everybody, come on. Everybody's coming up onto the flatbed. Be careful, guys. I don't want anybody getting splinters on this thing. Flatbed's a little bit...
Well, that's a perfect white trash deck.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You always leave with splinters.
Right. At least one.
I need some music.
Yeah, Max and the ladies are making their way. Hey. Hi, intern. What's your name again? Emily. Wow, Emily's pretty. All right.
That didn't sound creepy.
That's really creepy, Casey.
Wow, Emily's really pretty. Yeah.
Andy's wearing a Speedo.
And I'm wearing a Speedo.
Well, you know what? She's always wearing, like, all her clothes. And she's in a bikini.
Just stop.
I hope HR's listening to this.
Yeah.
All right. How many people do we have that are going to go in the pool, Casey?
All right. So who's going to go? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I just got a splinter. And then and we have intern Andre here who is African-American. And he said that this pool is not black-friendly.
It's not black-friendly? Yeah,
why not?
Because it's deep as all hell.
It's 6 feet deep.
That is not going to work. I'm going to grab like the railings as soon as we get in there.
All right. Yeah, no, grab the edge.
Can you not swim at all?
It's a crazy thing. I know how to swim.
You know what you do? Swim right for that penguin.
Wait, he says you know how to swim, but what?
But he can't float.
He can't float. Okay. Right. Well, so fortunately, we have a lot of floatable material in the pool.
As comfort, I ask you to remember that dead bodies can float.
Mm-hmm. It's a dumpster pool, by the way, if you're just tuning in. All right. Any idea, Case? It looks like they got the cameras
on Fox right now.
We're live on Fox right now. Are they going to interview you, or are you just going to get in?
We're going live right now.
Cameras are coming over towards him right now. So if you're, and in fact, we're pulling up Fox 29 in our studios right now. So we're live on the air
and live on TV right now. Actually, my toes are and pink fingernails are painted for Eagles training camp. If you can see, they're Eagles green, and it just so happens that we have a dumpster in the back of our parking lot here.
He's being interviewed.
Ah, okay,
I gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to break the world record for dumpster swimming. So I got my Speedos on. It's actually. Not the Speedos that you and I grew up with, but you know the spandex Speedos. So I'm ready to disrobe when you guys are.
All right, Case, go for it.
And Preston and Steve, are you guys ready for me to go swimming?
We are ready.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, here we go. Somebody hold my microphone for me so I can take my shirt off.
Yeah, but that's an issue. You don't want to get electrocuted. All right, it's magical.
If you want to give me a 3-2-1 count, I'll go in.
All right, you ready, Case?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
Somebody hold this microphone.
Everybody ready?
Three, two, one,
go!
And I hear the splash.
Yes! He's in!
Dude, he is bumping up and down.
He's doing the breaststroke!
He's got enough room.
Oh, butterfly!
Sorry.
Oh, my God. All right, everybody else in the pool.
Yeah.
Everybody in the pool. Go, 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 go. And here they go.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Dude, they're cannonballing in. Oh, they're flipping over the side.
Wow.
Andre made it.
That's a party.
Yeah.
Look at that. In our own parking lot.
I can't believe it. I can barely hear, though. I need to hear more of the water. We need that microphone closer to the water if possible. I know they don't want to get it wet. Casey, can you hear us?
He's jumping around.
I know.
Guys, I'm sorry. I'm just having too much fun.
We were just checking to see. How's the water? He can't hear us.
He can hear you.
To the speakers. Here
we go. He's swimming over to the speakers. He's holding a microphone in his hand above the water.
How's the water, Case? How's it feel?
I'll tell you what. It is really comfortable, Press. I was expecting it to be freezing. It is perfect. Please come down. Please come swim with me.
Hey, please come swim with me. Can we? You know what we need? We need some beers now. We need to send down some beers to you guys. Have a little party.
Wait, is there a truck driving around, perhaps?
You know, maybe there's a truck with a bunch of beer in it that happens to be driving by. I don't know. But, Casey, how many people are in there right now?
I mean, it's full right now. We've got, including myself... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yes, 8 people
in there right now.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Can you climb up and see if somebody can get up on the penguin and ride that thing?
Hey, is anybody want to climb? Here we go.
Don't break it though.
Yeah, don't break it. That's Sunshine. That's my daughter's. But let's see. It's going to be kind of difficult because it's like getting onto a float in the deep end because it's a 6 foot deep. Oh my God,
you have two bikini.
Oh my God, who does Andre have on his shoulders?
That's Chris, intern 11.
Intern 11 is on Andre's shoulders.
I think we have enough for chicken fights, guys.
Well, be careful with the chicken fights.
Bill looks scared.
Yeah, Bill's scared.
Yeah, Bill's scared.
Bill, so far, what do you think? Are we within the limits of having a good time here?
Essentially, they're these people. That looks like quite a lot of fun, actually.
Yes! You know? If you were to see that on the cover of a brochure, you would go to that resort.
I would buy one of those.
Listen, backyard. Though, it's ingenious. If you rent a dumpster like this, outside of the city, obviously, because it's illegal now in the city, you got a little mini white trash pool.
Yeah. I'm just, this is... It's much bigger than I thought it was going to be.
I actually can't believe this is happening.
I know.
And our interns are having a blast. Look at all this. And everyone's holding, I guess, waterproof cameras. I'm hoping they are.
And we've got some of our Preston Steve girls down there in bikinis enjoying the day as well. Case, you look like you're having a good time.
I am, you know, like, but I can only do so much because I got this microphone in my hand. I want you guys to unleash the Kraken, please.
Unleash
the Kraken. Get rid of the microphone. Go for it.
All right, go ahead. Swim, Casey, swim.
Go swim, Casey. All right, so here. Oh, Casey's
on. He just rammed into one of the... He's bouncing along like a buoy.
He just popped up out of the water like some kind of a
porpoise,
a monster of some sort. You're right, a porpoise, Steve. He is really a water baby. He's making his way through. He's lifting Andre up.
Poor Andre.
And he just dunked him. Oh my God.
This is very cool. What a blast.
I love it. Yep,
now
absolutely.
If that beer truck happens to be in the area.
Yeah. All right. Well, I tell you what. Let's take a break, and we'll come back in a moment. We'll keep the video rolling. This is our own dumpster pool party this morning on the Preston and Steve Show. It just came together last minute. I don't know how this ever happened.
The fact that everything just fell into place.
Yeah, it's amazing. So we'll take a break, and we'll come back in a second. Stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Let's see. There's a video, Steve. You sent me this this story of a husband that poured gasoline over a judge and then threatens to light her on fire if she doesn't declare him innocent. Dramatic footage shows the woman being held down at a court in Sao Paulo, Brazil, as the man threatens to spark a lighter in his hand. Alfredo Jose dos Santos grabbed Judge Tatiane Moriara Lima and took her hostage moments before his domestic abuse court case was about to begin. The incident lasted for 20 minutes, and he was filmed by police. There was an officer on duty in the court, and later emerged that Santos intended to become Brazil's first suicide bomber and was carrying a Molotov cocktail in his backpack. He
figured that the best way to show that he wasn't the kind of guy who'd engage in domestic abuse would be to throw a woman down on the ground and threaten to set her on fire.
He bore a long-term grudge against Lima, who convicted him of domestic violence in 2013. He threatened to set her on fire. Kneeling on top of his victim, he tells the judge she should change her decision and pronounce him not guilty because he is, quote, not a violent man.
Yeah, his irony meter isn't that good.
He was yelling, "Am I crazy?" And she repeated, "You're not crazy." She yelled it again and again, and he insisted that she tell everyone he is not guilty. And he said, "Am I guilty of a crime?" The judge replies, "No, no crime." He then instructs the policeman to film the judge on the floor. She repeats to his daughter that he is innocent.
I mean, he's holding this lighter, and she's doused in this stuff. So even an accident could have set her up.
The upsetting images showed the terrified woman with tears in her eyes as she's forced to say, "Your father is innocent," several times. Then police launched an unexpected attack. They immobilized him by spraying firefighting foam at a close range over both individuals. So they came in with fire extinguishers.
To help suppress if there was a fire.
Yeah, the suspect was released from the hospital after his arrest and transferred to medical care. He was undergoing medical examinations and being transferred to a holding prison. She was shaken up and taken to the hospital and checked out and released later the same day. But she had no physical injuries, but obviously she was traumatized by the ordeals.
How do you go back to work after that?
Yeah. A Japan-bound airplane returned to Hawaii because of a violent passenger who wanted to do yoga instead of sit in his seat.
Sometimes you get the urge, Preston. I'm sure you do during a flight.
Of course.
To violently do yoga.
Yeah, downward-facing dog in the aisle.
The pilot of the United Airlines flight from Honolulu to International Airport in Narita International Airport turned the plane around.
I've turned off the seatbelt sign. If you want to get up and do some yoga, by all means.
After hearing that Hyung-tae Pei was yelling at crew members and shoving his wife. Pei told FBI that he didn't want to sit in his seat during the meal service, so he went to the back of the plane to do yoga and meditate. He became angry when his wife and flight attendants told him to return to his seat.
If you want to do Pilates, that's only first class.
Pei pushed his wife because she was trying to make him stop. He felt that she was siding with the flight crew.
She always sides with the flight crew.
The flight crew.
Yeah.
He tried to headbutt and bite Marines who were passengers on the flight and tried to force him back to his seat.
That's a bad move.
According to the complaint, he threatened to kill passengers and was yelling that there is no God. Pei went into a rage because he felt the flight crew was ordering him around. He urinated on himself as well.
So he's doing all the right things.
And was on suicide watch at the Honolulu Federal Detention Center. They are holding him. It's going to be a while before they find out what happens with him.
Well, now he can do all the yoga he wants.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind a in-flight yoga class.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Relaxing.
Let the time go by.
A man who apparently drove several miles with his wife on the roof of his Toyota Sport Utility vehicle was jailed on a reckless driving charge. Police said at about 12:16 a.m. they stopped Richard Addy, who was 69 years old, after noticing a female riding on the top of the vehicle as the vehicle came to a stop.
How you doing up there, hon?
Police helped the woman, identified as Addy's wife, off of the roof. Addy said they had argued after drinks at a restaurant and then at a bar at a resort.
You're driving me to Phoenix!
They were staying at the resort because of work being done to their home. Now, after an altercation at the resort, Addy said he decided to leave. He said he didn't realize his wife was on the roof of the vehicle.
Why was his wife on the roof of the vehicle?
Addy stated at the first traffic light, he heard her banging on the roof and realized that she was there. He said he kept driving with her on the roof because he, quote, lacked a cell phone to call police.
Or he could have just pulled over.
He said that he drove to the courthouse in the hopes of finding a police presence. Locating no law enforcement officers there, Addy drove to the intersection where he was stopped. The drive from the resort to the intersection where Addy was stopped is about 6 miles.
She was 6 miles on the roof of the car.
Yep. Addy, who smelled of booze, said he parked his other vehicle at a nearby pawn business. He said that he was taking his wife to that vehicle. Addy was arrested on a reckless driving charge. He also got a citation related to permitting a passenger to ride on the outside.
I know this looks bad, but I don't have a cell phone.
A cat miraculously survived after being forced to spend 8 days in a box when she was accidentally put in the mail.
Oh, man.
Cookie's owner inadvertently sealed her into a package of DVDs and then sent her on a 260-mile journey.
It's like Christmas vacation.
The Siamese cat was trapped in the box for 8 days but arrived safely at the destination, having traveled from Falmouth in Cornwall to Worthington, West Sussex. Vets said that she was scared, nervous, and very dehydrated when she was found by the recipient, but...
You guys, there's a pussy in this box.
But she's doing well after being looked after. Vets got a hold of her. Her owner, Julie Baggett, said that, I feel terrible about what's happened. I mean, I put everything in the box. I sealed it straight away, so I don't know how she managed to get in there. She added that she had looked everywhere to find her beloved pet after realizing she was missing and having a horrible, scary feeling. But Cookie was reunited with her tearful owner after the veterinary practice managed to track her down from the cat's microchip.
You stinking bitch.
Yeah. It happens every now and then. People, they get in boxes. I had our old boss, Jim. His cat climbed into the moving van.
Yeah.
When they were moving across country. They couldn't find him, and they had to leave, and they got to the destination. They opened it up, and out popped Homer.
It's crazy.
Yeah, they will
They do that, though. They get into all
Yeah, they look. They want to get into stuff. They're curious animals.
Yeah.
All right, and that's what I have for you this morning in the Bizarre Files. We're going to take a break, come back in a moment, so stay right where you are. Hey, gang, it's safe to say we've never seen anything quite like 2020.
Challenging, uncertain, unprecedented. Go ahead, pick an adjective, any adjective. We'll wait.
We've been through a lot, probably with more to come, but we've stuck together like Philly always does.
It's pretty easy to feel helpless, but there are a few things we can do.
Like social distancing, avoiding large crowds, and wearing a mask when you're out in public.
It might seem like a pain, but it's nothing compared to what some people are dealing with.
So let's do the things we can do while we have to, and we'll get this great city and great country back to normal.
A message from your friends at 93.3 WMMR.
Putting Philly first.
Well, Kate Upton denying that she recently had butt implant surgery. Upton admits to considering it, though, because she's having a tough time getting laid. A federal appeals court overruling that lower court's decision to release Brendan Dassey, who was profiled in Making a Murderer. To lessen the disappointment of not being released, the court will allow Dassey to turn his prison cot into a fort. So that's cool.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Disney directors Ron Clements and John Musk are telling the Huffington Post that the infamous hidden phallic imagery in The Little Mermaid is just a myth. The two admit this will not be the case with their next movie, The Penis Pigs of Vagina Valley.
So we've had a little party that's been going on. If you missed the genesis of the whole thing, it was last week while we were gone. There was a pool party. It was a block party that took place, and this guy Justin and his friends grabbed this. They rented a dumpster, lined it, and then they filled it up with water. And they did use a fire hydrant, which you can't do.
That was the one issue. Yeah. Otherwise, we saw it, and as Justin pointed out, it made Forbes. I saw it on NPR. I saw it in USA Today. Got national coverage. People were besmirching the city because they said we're too stupid to not know to not bathe in dumpsters. I saw it as a sign of genius, as to you, Preston.
Yep. And we also realized that even though you can't, you're not allowed to do it in Philadelphia. We are right across the line of the city limits of Philadelphia. We're in Ballykinwood. We're right across the line. We can have a party.
Exactly. And as we were talking about it, it just so happened there was a truck driving around with a dumpster on it.
Who knew?
From Mascaro, right?
Yeah, J.P. Mascaro and Sons. And then there was another group.
A full truck riding around.
A Clear Alternative Water. And they had just picked up a shipment of water from Five Points Car Wash and Detail and Lube. And it just all came together. And then Steve Wilson from K&S Towing had a flatbed truck that we could use as a platform right next to the
just,
pool.
Within minutes, as if there was no pre-planning whatsoever, it all came together.
And Bill said it was okay to do it. So now that we brought you up to speed, let's go back to the action where it's all taking place, which is in the parking lot of One Bella Plaza.
Yes.
And I believe we have Nick on location now. Nick, are you there?
I'm here, Preston. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you, Nick. So it looks like the party is continuing.
Yeah, you know, I think that they've just sort of forgotten they're even doing a radio show at this point. People are hanging out in a dumpster as if it were a normal pool, and they're enjoying themselves. Honestly, this looks phenomenal. It looks like it's so much fun. And because it is phenomenal, it is so much fun.
Oh, my God, Michael Leo's doing a cannonball! Jesus. One of our interns.
Nick, you just got back from a sort of a tropical vacation. You have to admit, the dumpster pool rivals that, correct?
Steve, 2 days ago I was in the British Virgin Islands. Today I'm in the back parking lot of One Bala Plaza. I can't tell the difference. Yes. I gotta be honest with you.
It's gotta be confusing to you. You must think you're still away on vacation.
Yeah, it's tropical back here. It's definitely tropical.
Hey, Nick, I have a question. I saw Fox 29 interviewing somebody. Was that Justin, the guy who originally started this whole thing?
Yeah, Justin's actually standing to my left right now, Preston. He came out to be a part of our party, and certainly he was the inspiration for the party to begin with.
Hang on a second, Nick. There's a chicken fight going on in the pool right now. Casey, can you tell us what's going on?
All right, so it looks like, two of our beautiful girls around the Heineken just a week ago are now duking it out.
That's Nicolette and Jasmine.
Yeah, it looks like, and Jasmine
wins.
Jasmine wins.
Yes.
I tell you what, I would buy that on Blu-ray.
Yeah. So, Casey, you've got a mic. You're actually in the pool right now, right?
Yeah. I'm telling you what, the water is amazing. I'm so surprised at how clean and comfortable the water is.
All right, we're having a little trouble. Casey, we're having a little trouble hearing you. Just one.
Yeah, Rodney, boost up the microphone levels if you could, please. Oh, my God, your son just did a can opener.
Yes.
Casey, behind you.
He I taught them well, right, guys?
Yeah, you did. Tell them to be careful as they're jumping into the pool because they could fall off the other way, and I know Bill would have a heart attack.
Also, Preston, Bill worked his way out here, so he's observing firsthand at this point.
Uh-oh, Dad's here.
Yeah, Dad's there.
Dad's here.
Yeah.
Hey, all right.
Everybody in the pool, wave to Bill. Say hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Can you see the look on Bill's face from up there, guys? It's that smirk smile.
Yeah.
That he's happy.
Hey, guys,
mostly.
And a weird guy just showed up with Crocs and a bathing suit. and it looks like he has a lawn chair, a beach chair. All right, you're just going to hang out?
Yeah. There you go.
You're right. He's
got the top of the beach chair. I see the dude. He's in the
That's
back.
Cool.
By the Fox truck.
Hey, let's get Justin's impression because he's the mastermind behind this, and are we living up to his reputation with this?
Justin, your thoughts on our efforts to replicate what you accomplished last week?
Guys, you are just killing it over here.
Ah,
I'll tell you what.
There we
the
go.
Dumpster's bigger. The girls are prettier. Sort of.
It's a relative thing. I love it, man.
And honestly, what you guys have been doing with the water, and then how you're going to give it back to the fire department, I gotta give it to you, man.
Well, you know, we're not really comfortable with being labeled heroes, but listen, we'll take it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, Justin said
they labeled me as a genius, so.
And Justin, what are you drinking?
I am drinking beer.
Yeah,
Justin brought a few beers with him.
Today we organized a trip to go on the river. There's about 10 of us.
Yeah.
We're gonna hit the river. Gonna go to Susquehanna, and then you guys put this on, and we're like, we got to do this first.
Yeah,
so that's actually River Day today for us. So we're just kicking it off.
We love it, and it's flawless weather out there. Beautiful women and guys. Our interns really having a great time in the pool. But there's history to be made today as well. A team of Casey's.
I believe so. And Marissa, you need to look up some of the Olympic themes that we have because obviously the Olympics in Rio are underway. Casey
right there
was
on the first page, the hockey pages.
Oh, the first page of the hockey right here. So anyhow, right there. It's something that Casey, obviously he was a competitive swimmer back in the day. And, you know, we have Michael Phelps who won his 19th gold medal the other day. It kind of inspired Casey to want to get in the pool and maybe relive some of the glory years. And Casey, what did you have in mind?
Well, you know what? I think the one clear thing that I need to do is the amount of laps I can swim underwater without coming up for a breath.
The amount of is that the event? So the most times traversing the dumpster underwater.
I think the current record is 2 laps. So up and back is the current world record.
And do you in fact hold that record?
No. Yes, I do.
Okay. All right.
Did someone do it earlier down there, Casey?
I did it just a little while ago.
Okay.
I set the world record, but I want to break my world record if that's okay.
Okay, so here's what we need to do. We need everyone in the pool. First of all, get all the toys out of the pool, throw them over onto the flatbed, and then we need all of our swimmers, all of our, you know, this is like Club MTV or something,
Steve. It really
is. We have
all
these good-looking stock people that we put in there so it looks good on camera.
They look amazing.
And you can stay in the
pool.
Yeah,
you guys can stay in the pool.
You can stay in the pool. We just need you off to the side. Yeah, or you can get out. Either way, Casey, it works for us.
Whatever works for you guys, I'm okay with it.
All right, so they're all now jumping back in the pool.
All right, we just need you to sort of line each side like a human gauntlet.
We need we need a clear path down the middle, if you could. So I think we should have, what do you want, Casey? Everybody on one side or either side?
You know what? It probably would work better if everybody was on one side.
All right, I'm gonna ask everyone to actually get into the pool. Don't sit on the edge so we can see.
And then go to the far side. There you go.
There
perfect.
We go.
Now they're
excellent.
Headed over there. So we get a good camera angle. If you're just tuning in, Casey is in a Speedo and swimming cap and goggles. We have the video of when he first jumped in. That's available on Instagram. Nick posted that. But, Nick, you're going to have to walk us through this. Can you have a mic while you're up on the platform?
Yeah. Can you guys still hear me all right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're going to have to let us know how he's doing because he'll be underwater for the whole thing.
Now, I'm going to say is this, and Casey, as we look at you at the end of the dumpster getting ready and going through all your stretching exercises, you remind me of a young Michael Phelps, the same sort of sinewy body, whole thing. I'm predicting big things. I know, Nick, I sense you're feeling this way as well.
Yes, ironically, they've both taken the same number of calories before me.
That's right.
It's just one chooses to sit on the couch while the other one swims.
All right. And I noticed some of our interns have GoPro cameras. If someone could hold one underwater while he's doing this, and we can get an underwater shot of him attempting the world record for laps underwater without taking a breath in a dumpster pool. We will have an official world record that's taking place live on the Preston and Steve Show this
We just
morning.
Might see this at the next Olympics, Preston, if this goes. And by the way, I suggest, just a suggestion here, keying off what Casey said earlier, perhaps all of our interns should work in bathing suits because this is very interesting.
Yes. So we're looking at a dumpster that's 6 feet deep and 22 feet long. So that's a good amount of distance that Casey's going to have to go back and forth. Steve, any idea you want to predict how many laps he might be able to make?
You know, he is actually a very skilled swimmer. I'm going to suggest 200.
Ah, 200.
Am I shooting too big?
I was going to go for seven.
Seven?
But,
all right, then,
you know.
All right, then can I revise my original guess?
Certainly.
100.
100, okay. I'm saying seven, Steve's saying 100. So, Nick, is Casey, well, we have the mic there near you. Are you ready? Feel pretty confident?
Yeah, he's been doing breathing exercises. Casey, how you feel?
I feel great. Do you think I'm actually going to go up and back seven times for real?
Yeah, it's not that long. It's not that far.
I was hoping for like three, but so seven sounds good.
You're saying my guess of 100 is ridiculous.
Well, you never know until you do it, right, Steve? I mean, that's why they have the Olympics in the first place.
That's right.
My pool is 40 feet long, and I can do two, no problem. So that's why I was
up and back.
Up and back, yeah. Okay. So that's why I thought Casey would do better than I.
Underwater turn, Case?
Yeah, you have to. I'm going to stay underwater. My head's going to stay underwater the entire time. Not a flip turn because you lose precious air that way because you got to breathe out your nose.
Yep.
So I'm just going to do like a side turn.
Okay.
It's going to be pretty amazing, guys.
Okay. All right. Really pretty amazing. So let me get this straight though, Kathy. You said up and back. So meaning if he goes to one end, that counts as one.
Okay.
Back is two.
Okay.
And again is three, and so forth.
Sounds
okay.
Good.
You got it, Case. You got it, Nick.
Yes. Well, so it's funny because it's not technically a lap. A lap is up and back. So I'm going to attempt to do more than two lengths.
All right. So lengths. My guess of 100 is now feasible.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I'm also impressed at the sheer number of spectators who have shown up to watch this event, including our former music director, Rabbi.
Oh, Rabbi, my God. Rabbi. Does he want to give a blessing or anything like that?
Yeah, does Rabbi know any Jewish blessing he could give to
Rabbi,
Casey?
Come on over. Yeah, and Steve, your old doctor, Dr. Gary's here.
Dr. Gary? My God, Dr. Gary.
Well, we need a medical professional on hand. Should there
be
an emergency.
You're so smart, Preston. That's absolutely why he's here.
Yes. And the best ones are the ones that just happen to drive by.
That's right. Does Rabbi have a blessing?
Yeah, Rabbi, any words of advice in Hebrew for our dear friend Casey Boy?
You want Hebrew?
Yes. Yeah,
Hebrew.
Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz.
Yeah! Casey is now a helicopter.
Amen. Go for the gold.
All right. Okay, Nick, we're ready if Casey's ready.
All right, are you guys ready to do this event? And we're going to do a countdown, all right? We're going to do 3, 2, 1. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
For the first, what?
No.
What?
Swimmers, take your mark. Go.
I'm not. Okay, you know better than I do. Swimmers, take your mark. Go! He's going down. He's made it to the first end. He's turned around and he's coming back.
That's
full
one.
Turn under the water, pushing off the end. Preston, he's back for number two. Turning around back towards number three to the back end. He's doing this whole thing underwater.
Wow.
His turns are pretty precise.
Well, except for that last one. Come on,
and he's up. He's up. He did four.
USA!
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 Casey.
Oh,
Casey,
you look winded.
You were just 97 shy of my guess.
I know, I apologize, but I blame Nick McElwain, who was a little bit wonky on his start. His
really?
Was all messed up, yeah. So it kind of messed me up. I probably could have gone one more length.
Well, talk is cheap. Do you want to give it a shot?
I think he did four altogether.
You know, I don't have to because I did shatter the world record already.
That's right.
It's true. The record has been shattered.
I shattered it.
Yeah.
Wait, so what is the cadence? How do you do it? What's the proper way of doing the call?
Well, you do like, you said, like, swimmers, take your mark.
Right? Go.
Go. It's supposed to be like, one, two, three, go. So,
okay.
Swimmers, take your mark. Go.
All right.
It's okay. Listen.
Is this
together?
Really
we yeah. shattered the world record.
Yeah, we're
guys, I didn't do this alone.
Kathy is suggesting that this is in some way absurd.
I mean, look, keep in mind, you're in a dumpster. I get it with his cadence, but really just...
You know what?
Your bathing cap is so nice. Let it go.
You know what?
Kathy, why don't you show me video evidence of anybody doing more than four laps
in a dumpster? You achieved something. I'm just saying, let
it go. I did.
Casey,
world record.
Casey,
how many world... Kathy always raining on our parade?
I would say this, Casey. Casey, it's laughable because if you stop and think about the original Olympics, a guy threw a disc in the air. That became the discus. A guy threw a spear. That became the javelin. A guy swam in a dumpster. That became the dumpster, whatever, what would we call it? Dumpster-thon?
Sure.
Yeah.
Kathy, you know what? Somebody's going to win a gold medal. Kathy, somebody's going to win a gold medal for ping pong.
This is the deal, Casey. Kathy's jealous because she is a swimmer as well. And
Kathy, somebody's going to win a gold medal for jumping into sand.
Okay, it's fine. I'm just saying I like your bathing cap.
Oh, I love you.
She's just jealous, you know, Casey.
Wow, this is brought.
I can set another world record if you guys want to time me in butterfly.
Okay, you want to do butterfly in there?
Yes, sir.
Is this a timed event?
Honestly, can that in any way match what we just saw? I think it's going to be a letdown, but.
I'll have my timer ready to go. It'll definitely be noisier. That's
all right.
For sure.
So how many back and forth, Preston?
We're gonna one up and back, Steve.
Yeah. Not 100.
Not 100.
No, stop right, with the 100. Okay,
let me get my stopwatch ready.
All right, I got one too, Preston.
You keep the time from down there. Now watch out because all our interns are still in the pool, and Casey's hands could fly out and hit you in the face.
All right.
Did you say you're doing butterfly?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay. So
the stroke or flick.
Is that, so your arms really come way out on that, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Are you going to hit anybody?
Hopefully.
I tell you what, you might indiscriminately cop a feel.
No, he won't.
Exactly.
Exactly. Okay, so this is up and back. This will be the butterfly in the two-length dumpster pool competition.
Is anybody from the Olympic Committee actually keeping track of this? Because we don't want this data to get lost.
I'll
keep track of it.
All right.
He's keeping track. Guys, I mean, do you understand what's going on here?
Yeah, history's being made.
We have a two world record holder as a co-worker. I mean, that is amazing.
Casey, it is astonishing. Though the eyes of the world are on Michael Phelps, in a true grassroots come-from-behind story, a young man from Delco is creating magic in the parking lot of One Bala. And does anyone care? We care.
He'll be the most decorated MMR employee.
You know who cares?
Right.
That guy sitting in his lawn chair in the back.
Yeah.
Who just showed up out of the blue.
That guy cares.
America.
I don't know.
Buddy?
All right. I'm ready whenever you guys
are. All right. So we go. Swimmers, take your mark. 2, 3.
No.
Go.
No. The hell was that?
That's exactly it. Okay,
swimmers, take your mark. Go. Like that, Casey?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Whatever ready? You guys want to do. Listen, I'm going to break the world record no matter what. I'm that confident.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Swimmers, take your mark. Go!
Wow.
He's made it to the first turn in 4 seconds. Oh, my goodness. A new world record!
What was the total time on that, Nick?
The unofficial time from the American timekeeper, 8.51 seconds!
Yeah.
Wow!
Sub-9, guys. I went sub-9 seconds on that for the first time ever.
I got to tell you, Casey, that reminded me of one of my favorite scenes from Free Willy.
Well, let's break it. A couple of more, Casey. Is there another event you want to do?
Oh.
Well, I mean... freestyle was my stroke.
I tell you, the butterfly was good, though, because we actually heard the water.
I want to do freestyle.
All right. This will be your final
I don't know.
Record.
There's breaststroke, too. There's backstroke.
Do we want to beat Michael Phelps? Do we want to go for 20 records, 20 gold medals?
Isn't that a little gratuitous?
I don't know. We got the dumpster.
It's going to kill.
Yeah, you're right. We do have the dumpster.
Have the dumpster today and the water.
Right. What about a relay? Maybe a relay.
All right. Here's the deal. I'll do an individual medley.
All right. Okay.
By myself. So backstroke, butterfly, breaststroke, freestyle.
Okay.
Okay. One.
And then
and tango.
And then tango.
So that's up, four. All right, Case. This is the individual medley. And Case is going to do backstroke. Don't hit your head, man.
Yeah, don't, please.
Well, that's I need Andre. Can you switch places with
you're going to be his mark.
Yeah. He needs to be my mark. All right, here we go.
And since you're the only person of a different color of everybody else in the pool, he'll be able to pick you out perfectly.
There we go.
Is he going to switch places?
No, Casey's going to jam his head into the side of the dumpster. I don't think they get it.
Michael, yeah, switch places with Andre.
There we go.
Right. Yep, because Andre, once he sees you, he's gonna know he won't hit his head, so he needs to use you as a visual cue. Okay, right. are you ready, Casey?
I'm ready. Are
you Nick,
ready?
You got to give him the countdown.
Okay, swimmers, take your mark.
Two, three.
Go! Starting with the backstroke. He has made it to the end. Oh, man, he nailed his head.
He's doing flip turns, too.
Okay, there's the butterfly.
Yep.
Here comes three.
Now he's doing a breaststroke.
Breaststroke, and then he's going to come back. The last leg.
And he's doing freestyle.
His strength. A new world record.
And then, for real?
19.51 seconds.
Stop 20.
Oh. That is three world records in one break.
Unbelievable.
My favorite is a... Casey's voice in the background. Again! Did it again!
An Olympic and a world record. Unbelievable.
Unstoppable.
Get out and do the celebratory tango.
And you don't have what is classically a swimmer's body, and you're putting them all to shame.
My gosh.
Do you know, guys, believe in miracles?
I gotta thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Son of God.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it without you. Dad in heaven. I love you.
Yeah.
Mom, my wife, Diane, I love you.
And Casey, don't leave out Biggie.
Oh, and Tupac.
Yeah.
Biggie and Tupac, for real. Oh, God.
Your son was here to witness it all, Casey.
Oh, come here, my boy.
My son's in the pool. Oh, my God, you can feel the emotion from out here.
This is beautiful. This is what it's all about.
What's up, Rocky? Did you just do Rocky?
And then he just drops his son.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Bill believed in me, guys. Bill Weston, you. Thank you, Bill.
Rio's going to have a lot to live up to after watching this.
We've witnessed a lot of magic here this morning.
Yeah. And the only difference is we admit our water's dumpster water.
Yeah. And it's not over yet. The pool party's going to continue on while the show's going on,
right? It's going. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So and I would love to maybe the last break.
All right, man.
I might head down there.
You can take a walk down.
And jump in the pool for a little bit. It's just tough to do part of the show from here. But maybe we could do that wrap-up break. Maybe we could do that wrap-up break from the pool.
All right.
Oh, that would be a great idea. I'm telling you guys. You won't be disappointed. You really should get down there.
Okay, definitely. All right, so I tell you what. With that, we're going to take a quick break. We will come back in just a moment or two. The Preston and Steve Dumpster Pool Party is happening in our parking lot. We'll return. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.